away, folks. You're now entering the corking room. This is where the final step in the bottling process happens, where we prepare all the corks for all the bottles of Brunello that you saw earlier.
This is PFW in progress.
I've always actually wondered about that. How do you cork the bottles?
Excellent question, Mabella. As you can see, we are soaking all the corks in this room right now.
PFW in progress.
These three guys right here are some of the most talented cork soakers. Say hello, you old cork soakers.
With Fred Kirsch.
Now, I'm curious, how does one become a cork soaker?
As we are like it to say, cork soakers are born, not made.
Paul Perillo.
Luigi here was simply born to soak cork.
I love soaking a cork. I could have soaked a cork all the night long if they let me.
And Andy. And Andy?
So are all corks the same?
Oh, no. I like to soak the big, thick cork.
Andy Hart.
The great thing about the cork soaking is that while you are soaking the cork, you can also massage at the grapes.
The Sheriff, Tom Casale.
Could you teach me how to soak cork?
You know, when are you walking in here? I could have sworn you're already an expert cork soaker.
Yeah. And you never know who else might stop by.
Thank you. I dabbled in college.
PFW in progress.
Do you ever run out of corks to soak?
This one vintage was unusually large, and I thought Giuseppe would need the extra corks.
And I thought Marcello would need more corks.
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
So we soaked each other's corks at the same time.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. The gang is all here. It's Thursday, the 28th of February, 2008, and we are on the brink of free agency, and every indication looks like it's going to be a pretty wild free agent season. Guys are being cut left and right, and it's exciting.
Old guys may be coming back.
Yeah, I'm excited about this whole thing. So
you are excited.
We're
going
to talk about
that.
Fred.
We're going to talk about rumors. Adam Schefter of the NFL Network has said that Randy Moss is about to sign a deal with the Patriots. So if that's true, that's good news. Finally, some good news coming out of Gillette. And so we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the combine again. We guys still have some more stuff to talk about with the combine, the draft coming up. So there's a lot of good things to look forward to in Patriot Nation.
There's a lot on the table today.
Fred, Andy, Tom, Eric, Paul, and Mini Gary in the booth. Gary has a noontime meeting.
What kind of meeting is more important than this show?
I was just going to say, who schedules meetings
at noon? Unless it's a lunch meeting.
Is that a catered meeting?
That's the only thing.
Should I play a part in this meeting?
It's supposed to be a two-hour meeting.
Maybe that's why he's going to the meeting.
Getting out of hand in this organization.
You said that yesterday, Fred.
These people holding the meetings, catering them.
We never have one of those.
We walked in the other day, and Fred's like, there's just too many meetings.
Too many meetings. There are.
Fred's looking to downsize this place.
You know, just get to work.
Fred liked it better when it was a mom-and-pop shop.
Things were good those days. We didn't have the Super Bowl, but we had each other.
But Fred's
that's right, though.
Sometimes you'll look into those things, and there's like five people in there for a meeting. Like, just do it in the office like we do. You know what I mean?
They got the chafing dishes out there and
huge silverware
and coffee urns.
Andy, that stuff is already starting to smell disgusting. Is there anything you can do about that?
Andy Hart just opened up a can of tuna that
it's
from 1950.
Tom, what does that make him?
That's what meatheads do.
Did you get that from a bomb shelter?
Trying to eat healthy.
God forbid you get a protein bar. Let's open up a can
of
tuna.
That's expensive. I don't have the kind of money you have.
Where'd you get that tuna
from? $2 a pop.
From a bomb shelter or something?
Andy's going to go home and put like four eggs in a glass and down them like Rocky.
What are you training for?
God forbid anybody makes fun of Andy.
All right. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address.
Fred, I saw him at the gym yesterday. If that's any indicator, he's training for the Special Olympics.
Oh, is that right?
You should have seen him with his 20-pound dumbbells.
Oh, God.
Awful.
Then he does a couple curls and he looks around, sees who's looking at him.
That's BS. You
know. He does.
But we're losing all our gym members.
Where's the sweatshirt at the gym?
We're losing our gym membership.
Where's the wrestling
shoes? What are you supposed to wear at the gym?
A t-shirt. Don't
I
you
can
sweat?
Wear a cutoff like you and show off my Cowboys tattoo?
I wear a t-shirt and shorts. When when have you not seen me wear T-shirt and shorts?
You always wear a cutoff T-shirt.
No, I don't.
You have something wrong with your washing machine? It rips the sleeves off all your shirts?
I got to go with Tom on this one. 27 years ago when I last worked out, I think I wore a T-shirt and shorts.
Not a sweatshirt and long
sweatshirt.
Pants.
I've always worn a sweatshirt.
Just
because, out the old gym I
just
used to
because
work
you have chicken
have
legs
meat.
Doesn't mean you have to wear pants.
But as Fred pointed out, you all I wear. Thing. You might not have one to go to.
He has to cover up the legs.
Yeah.
So he wears a sweatshirt so it makes sense.
No, I'm comfortable. I like to be warm when I work out. I don't like
you
to get
like
a chill.
You like to be warm when you – it's called working out. That gets you warm.
You get all sweaty, and then in between sets, you cool down.
That's your problem. Your in between sets are like 20 minutes walking around.
When was the last time you were at the gym?
You're not going to have a gym to go
to. I can say
that
now that I went yesterday.
I got my perfect push-ups.
Oh, good. So you're one of those fat, middle-aged men who thinks one thing they order for $40 on TV is going to bring back their youth.
No, I also do.
That and the Cadillac you bought.
This is destined to be a great show because it started off with the first 5 minutes of everybody attacking Andy, and that doesn't usually go well, so he'll be swinging any minute now.
All right.
Yeah, I wouldn't email in today, Dermot, even if you did buy lunch last week.
All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. It's webradio@patriots.com. The phone number is 508-543-7482. And, guys, what do you want to tackle first? Do you want to tackle the Moss rumor, or do you want to tackle about all the cuts that are being made around the NFL and people hitting the market?
Well, I think Moss is the most important thing.
He's going to sign here like we all thought.
It's been the same thing we've thought all along.
I think
the only one that didn't was that John Czarnecki guy.
Well, and when they made the decision, we talked about this on Tuesday, when they made the decision not to franchise him, I think we all felt that that probably meant that they had the parameters of a deal, you know, probably already in place, and we'll see what happens, you know, when we get here tomorrow morning. If it's already, I'm expecting it already to be done.
Right.
You know, quite honestly, by the time we get here tomorrow morning.
Best guess at what the terms are. What do you think?
3 years.
Three years, $30 million?
Yep.
Yeah.
Half of it guaranteed?
Like 12. 12 guaranteed.
Probably, in some form. I don't think he's going to get a $12 million check.
Right.
A lot of incentives
I don't think he gets a bonus.
No, I don't think there'll be a lot of incentives in it. There might be some, but I think he did his incentive year. Now he wants to be paid.
Okay.
I kind of agree with the boys.
Yeah. All right.
Maybe an incentives on top of the guarantee?
Maybe.
You mean?
Maybe. I don't know.
Like, yeah, there might be a way to earn an extra million if you, you know, catch 25 touchdowns or something ridiculous.
You know, win the Super Bowl?
You know roster bonus if you come to training camp?
Huh?
You know,
if I give him $30 million, I'm expecting him to come to training camp.
Well, I don't know. I mean the OTAs.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah.
They all get workout bonuses.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
it's usually like $9,600
you know
bucks or something.
You know, it'd be funny if they came up with one. You know, sometimes the ridiculous, not likely to be earned incentives they come up with, and all that. You know, we'll make you the NFL record-setting receiver if you break Jerry Rice's all-time record.
Right.
Oh nope, that's got to be likely to be earned since he just did it.
Well, you know, it'd be funny for him. They could also do like, couldn't they do one with pass defenses since he got a pass defense? If they want to do something shady, they could put if you have 25 pass defense. In one season, and he had like two last year.
Leads the team.
Yeah, if he leads the team, say. Although this
if
team,
he's leading the team.
Samuel
well,
leaving, you might be in trouble.
Samuel goes, you might need him.
None of the other guys are ever around a ball.
All right. No rumors that we've heard on the positive side for Samuel. Every indication is that he's going to hit the market.
Long gone and hard to find.
And
first we heard Tampa Bay. Now we're hearing New Orleans.
Yeah, I just
Philly, the Jets,
Cleveland. If you listen to his agent, Alonzo Shavers, he was interviewed by Brian Lowe at the Combine. No hard feelings.
No.
I don't think there's anything contentious going on. I just don't think – I think they're just miles apart.
And, Fred, I would take that all the way back to his original holdout or de facto holdout last year. I think that he handled it really well. Unlike Branch's guy, whose name is escaping me now, the
Shiat.
Yes, Jason was his first name.
Yeah.
I thought he made some kind of controversial comments, not necessarily ones that I disagree with, but I didn't think that was the way to go about it with the Patriots. And I thought that Shavers, you know, while he may be, you might be right, Fred, they may be miles apart, but he's not saying that. He's not telling the Patriots they're out of the picture. He's not making outrageous demands through the media.
Going out of his way to do the opposite,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, I think that's the best way. You don't want to close that door. And you certainly don't want to make sure, you know, take the Patriots out of the bidding.
And you don't want to call Bill Belichick a liar in case you have to come back like 5 years later.
Well,
his heart's always been in New England.
I'm telling you, that was still the most surreal thing. Between Lawyer Malloy saying no comment and then driving around the rotunda at Bryant College, at the time it was Bryant College, I know it's university now, and then Ty Law, you know, 4 months after calling the head coach a liar, is just like, oh, no, I say, what's up, Bill? Do you remember, like, what did you say to Bill when you saw him?
Yep.
I just say, what's up, Bill? I mean, it's like it would never happened.
And now he wants to come back. He's at Celtics games already.
Well, he's here for the...
He's here for the management seminars.
He's going to school at Harvard.
Ty Law's one of those players?
Yes. Yes.
Holy
business
Moses.
We should probably point that out because...
The president and CEO of Ty Law, Inc. is getting a little smarter.
When I saw him at the Celtics game last night, I thought that maybe something was already in the works in terms of the Patriots. And that may be. I'm not ruling that out. But I found out this morning from reading the paper that he's actually here going to school at Harvard as part of the business
entrepreneur
program.
That program is very interesting because there are a lot of players that take advantage of that. And
several Patriots would be involved in that this year.
I mean, they look at, what am I going to do when I get done here? And apparently Ty Law is one of them. Who would have thought?
Hey, who knows more about business than Ty Law and Ty Law, Inc.?
But the question with Ty is, how much of his money does he still have? Because he likes to spend.
He does like to spend, but I just can't imagine that a guy that enjoys money as much as he does spent it all.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And by the way, it's a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean.
I mean, you're talking $50 million.
It's a $50 million contract.
That he saw the bulk of.
That he got pretty much every, well, no, all but, no, didn't they released him before the last year?
Yeah, the last year.
So he didn't get all but like $12.5 million of
it. So $38 million plus he got.
Plus his rookie contract, whatever that was.
Plus the Jets, he made $6 million that year, $5 million. Plus a year with the Chiefs where he made.
2 years. It was a $30 million deal, but he played 2 years with Kansas City. Mm-hmm. He didn't get it all, obviously.
So he's well over $50 million. That's a lot of money to piss away.
He's upwards of probably $70
million. Have you seen his house and his cars?
What, is he broke? That when they hand you $50 million, by the time you say $50 million, it just made like $100,000 in interest.
I know, but he does like to spend.
I mean, that's ridiculous money.
All right. So
what do you guys think? Do you want him back?
Sure. Why not? He's better than.
I think that
Hank Poteet.
It all comes.
They
down
got nobody.
To if he's willing for the veteran minimum and incentive laden contract,
apparently Ty won't be coming back. Then
he's not playing for the veteran.
Well,
minimum.
He might at this point.
See, I think he'd retire before he played for the veteran minimum.
I agree,
Ricky Waters.
I really do.
Yeah, Ricky Waters had a number in mind, and he wasn't going to budge.
Keyshawn.
I mean, Ricky Waters probably could have played 3-4 more years if he wanted to, and he wanted planes to pick him up and bring him to interviews.
Look, I really think that Ty Law realizes that he doesn't have much gas left in the tank. Let's finish it out with the Patriots.
So why is he coming back?
But he played 16 games for the Chiefs last year. I don't think he's looking at it that way. Now, maybe his days of making $30 million contracts are over. And maybe he hasn't come to grips with that. Like Tom says, Ricky Waters did the same thing.
But if it doesn't have two commas in it, I don't think he signed it.
But here's the other thing, too. Samuel's the big fish, but after him, there's no one.
Right.
So teams that miss out on Samuel, they're still going to be looking for corners. So while he might not be at the top of his game, I still think there's a market for him to not play for the veteran minimum because I think teams will give him money.
I would give Ty Law basically the same deal that I gave Randy Moss last year. You know, it's based on what you do. I'd give him at least $1 million, guaranteed.
I think
well, Moss got
and let
three.
Him earn the rest.
Yeah, Moss got three.
Yeah, but he didn't get three until after
he started at three.
He got two
well,
more million in incentives.
He probably had to be on the team to make three or whatever. But.
How about something like the Junior Seau one where you wrap the bonuses into every week?
Yeah.
You pay him in weekly increments.
I like it.
You don't have to like it. Ty does.
Yeah. Then what if Tampa Bay's offering them?
Right.
You know,
somebody might just offer him a 1 year, $5 million deal, and he'll say, "Okay."
Well, they're nuts.
Ty Law is one of those guys. He's a mercenary.
They're nuts.
Ty Law will play for the most money he can get.
That's why I'm wondering if he's going to end up here, because I just think if you look at the corner market, there's teams that are competitive, like say the Giants, who need corner help. And like Andy said, I could see a team like that giving him a one-year deal, maybe overpaying a little bit for him just for one season to try to make another run at a title.
So you don't think that his attitude toward the game has changed at all?
These two know him better than me, and according to them, he's playing for the most
part.
I
think you're talking about. I don't think he has a bad attitude toward the game.
Well, I mean, I'm going to play for the most money no matter where
it
is.
But I think he separates it. I think he treats the game very seriously.
When he's there.
I didn't. Say
I do
he
think
didn't.
There's an aspect of he went to Kansas City because there was a comfort level with Herm Edwards.
Oh yeah.
He doesn't necessarily want to be working out on March 17th at 6 a.m.
Here's my thing though, too, and I say this all the time with players. I think that as fans, we oftentimes kind of glorify the whole thing about winning. I think the players in general, there's always exceptions. This is not a blanket statement for every player, but I think Ty Law, this would be a blanket statement for Ty Law. I think they're concerned with A, their salary, B, their personal fit, and then C, their chance to win.
Especially guys who've already won. He's already got three rings. Might even be fifth on those guys.
I think that at some point in a lot of guys' career, that shifts a little bit.
Yeah, usually when they haven't won, when you're
right.
Junior Seau,
yeah, right.
He's won.
Right.
He's already won.
That's true. That's true. But, I think that he'd like to finish out as a Patriot if possible.
Possible. And, you know, we start talking about, does he think he's a Hall of Famer? Would another title or a great year in New England on a championship?
It might seal it.
Maybe that comes into play.
See, I think that he could be a valuable guy in that secondary, but not if you're looking at him as the best addition
to
the secondary.
No.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't think he's probably going to be relied upon to be a solid 16-game starter anymore.
He better not be because
he could go out there and play better than Ellis Hobbs did last year. I will guarantee you that.
Oh, maybe. But, I mean, at this point in his career, you know, shouldn't they be trying to get the young guy
Absolutely.
Like Samuel, who they developed into the best corner,
James
one
Sanders,
of the best corners
guys
in the league?
Like that.
You know?
See, I'd be looking for a guy drafted not in the fourth round. Because I think that's a crapshoot to me.
I think they should be looking for the next Ty Law, the guy they draft in the first round with the expectation. Because turning a fourth rounder into an all-pro corner, you got a little lucky there. Turning a first rounder into an all-pro corner, that's what you're supposed to do.
Well, they did, but everything I'm hearing and seeing is that there aren't any top-flight corners out there.
No, I think there probably are. You just got to make sure it's the one you take.
Right, and I think a guy like my boy, Kaysan, who's almost the exact same size, has those instincts. See him,
slower.
He proved
he wasn't really,
but not the flashy speed.
Right.
But I think someone like that you might be able to mold. But if you're talking about like a Rogers Cromartie, that's a bigger what if because
he might be the best.
But you're looking at him with we have to see it because he played at Tennessee State, and there's more of a little bit of a risk there. I think
I can virtually guarantee a corner in this draft will be a Pro Bowler.
I think there's probably going to be some good.
You just got to make sure you pick the right one.
Yeah. But from what I'm hearing, you know, maybe and I don't want to put words in your mouth, Eric, but I'm hearing similar stuff. There's not really one worth taking in the top seven. You know, at number seven.
Right now, probably not.
And I wouldn't necessarily want to reach because that's an area. See, I think that you always kind of, even though everybody always says we pick for, you know, value, not need, I think that's kind of a little bit of a fallacy. I think that every team picks for need. But I think the
Patriots say they don't pick for need. Everybody else sort of admits
they
pick for need.
But the higher you get, the better your pick is, the earlier in that first round, the less you can pick for need. You have to. You can't pick, you know, the fifth best player at number seven, or the 15th best player at number seven.
Unless your need is quarterback,
you know, and that's how you get in trouble because that's how you get the misses. And I think that's probably why there's some more high profile misses at the top of the draft, because teams sometimes do get caught in that. You know,
just go with the surefire player.
Getting stuck with picking a guy for need there. Just you got to pick the best player. Whereas if you're like in the 40s and you're picking. I have a group of guys that are probably all around the same. I can pick the position that I want. You do that up at number seven, and I think you run the risk of.
That's why I think it's disingenuous when teams say we never pick for need.
Right. Well,
that's garbage.
You have to factor in
who you have.
Can we say Ty Warren was the quintessential need pick. They needed a defensive lineman. They thought at the time that he was going to be a nose tackle in 2003. They traded up a spot because there was
a little
run.
Lucky.
There was a run on defensive linemen early in that draft, if you guys recall, and they panicked. They moved up a spot with Chicago. Of course, they didn't really panic because Jerry Angelo just hands anything to Bill Belichick that he wants. And that's where the cheating really should be looked into. but anyway, that was a need pick. Ty Warren was a need pick that worked out. See, not all need picks are bad. You know, that was a great need pick. It worked out very well.
That's where it worked. You have value and need, you know.
And maybe got a little lucky.
Yeah.
Because they did want him to be the nose tackle, and it didn't. And I think by training camp, if I remember, Andy, they kind of realized right away that it wasn't going to work.
Right.
But he turned out to be a Pro Bowl.
So they kind of looked into that one too.
Did he take a little step back, Warren? I mean, no. Did we think that he was going to come out and have this great year and he didn't really have...
I just think he's a solid player. I really like
him. Well, he's a solid player. There's no doubt about it.
Oh, I know what you're saying. There were a lot of expectations saying, well, he should have made the Pro Bowl last year.
And he might be. And he had a better year. I mean, he played the whole season. It was pretty good.
No, I mean, Seymour was injured. But I don't think he's emerged yet as better than Richard
Seymour. He was better than Seymour. Was than Seymour this year, no question.
Right,
but he might be just as good as Seymour was when Seymour.
It's not
was
a glamorous position,
no. And I think when Seymour is focused and trying, I think Seymour is the better player and healthy.
Right.
But when Seymour's a little banged up and maybe not giving it, maybe he's giving it 90% instead of 100%. You know, Ty Warren's going to give you 100% all the time. I think that evens it out
because he's not as gifted. Seymour is more gifted.
With Rich, we need to figure out a way to get him mad before every game. Because he plays good.
Don't you
mad.
Play that role?
He's got to get mad, you know.
Why? That's my question. Why wouldn't he be?
I don't know.
Why wouldn't he be
some
motivated to play?
Some guys' temperament are like that. I agree with Fred.
He really is so talented that.
I mean, I think it's easy to cruise. I think it's harder to be motivated than it is to.
But Fred's
cruise.
Right when he says some guys don't play their best when they get angry or emotional.
Right.
He's a guy that there's three or four different examples that you can call on that he just all of a sudden played like three series in a row like a man possessed.
He's a beast.
Jacksonville game was the one that sticks out the most in my mind.
But it's harder to do that. I mean, Tom Brady's a rarity because he's always angry. He's always has a chip on his shoulder. That's why they become great.
Well, it's like
I mean, I think it's easy to. I've been a whatever he is, 3-time All-Pro, 4-time Pro Bowler. I got Super Bowl rings. I think it's easy. You think you're still given 100%, but you're not.
I agree. It's
human
well,
nature.
A lot more people are like that than Michael Jordan trying to beat the Bullets on a Tuesday night.
And I'm not just talking sports. I think in any profession, you see people who work hard. They're trying to get to a certain level, and at some point, they reach a level, and all of a sudden. I'm just kind
of
coasting.
You look at
there's
four no of question. Them right here.
There's no question.
Eric's still trying.
That competitive thing. In
well, that's sad.
Tom brought up Michael Jordan. That's
his best
perfect
effort.
Example. That competitive thing, I think that's what makes the truly elite
all
guys.
Of them.
They have
Brady,
they
Woods.
Have an absolutely uncommon competitive streak to them.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter what it is.
Magic Johnson.
Tiger
Rice,
Woods is still
Jerry
angry
Rice.
At the world and doesn't. And he doesn't. Every day he tries to prove he's the best.
But Jerry Rice doing the off-season workouts that Tom just brought.
Yeah, he's a douchebag.
No question. But I mean, that's a competitive streak that's going to never allow the guy to not do everything he possibly can to win.
There's the fact that they're making so much money factor into that.
I'm
the fact
sure
that they figure,
lot,
hey, though. You know what? I'm getting paid. I don't really feel like playing today.
All of a sudden, you get up at 7 instead of 4.
See, that's, see some of the guys. Like some of the guys are motivated throughout their lives, working up to it to get to that level. And that's the
and
goal.
We've come full circle to Asante Samuel, I think, and that's a
and that's what you were talking about on Tuesday. You know, does he
has he been motivated for 2-3 years to become the hot free agent corner, and is he still motivated when they hand him $10 million a year?
Well, that's where
you don't have the answer.
You got
to
know the
guy
to know the answer to that.
But he doesn't even have it because I still think you think you're working as hard, but you're not. I think your own body can trick itself.
Right.
I think it's human
nature.
What's,
you know where that's a good example of, Andy, isn't a boxer, where like Lennox Lewis would think he was training hard for some fights, but then when he fought guys like Tyson, he trained hard. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he did. I don't think Lennox Lewis was lazy. I just think sometimes when he trained, he wasn't training as hard as he could.
That is the perfect example because that's what Rocky stole the idea from. Boxers who get fat, happy, in mansions, all of a sudden he's got to go to Russia and train in the mountains.
Plus Apollo Creed and Rocky
I. Right.
You know, he trained hard.
Yeah.
He didn't have the eye of the tiger.
You know, these guys aren't real, you know.
Oh, it's
a
movie.
But there's a statue of Rocky in Philadelphia.
And they steal the ideas from real life. You think Rocky is just Stallone is just
Fred
this incredible
gives us,
job,
these guys
Fred.
Aren't real, you know.
God, you're an idiot.
Well-delivered line, Fred.
That was very well-timed right there. These guys aren't real.
All right. All right, web radio at patriots.com.
Tell you what, if you see Carl Weathers walking down the street, you say, hey, there's Apollo. You don't say, hey, there's Carl Weathers.
Now,
Fred, you blew it. You missed the 12:23 break.
No, we're not ready yet.
Okay, sorry.
Wait,
not ready for the 12:23 break. We're screwed then.
Anybody?
12:25.
Anyone who has been cut loose the last couple days interest you?
I don't know who's been
the
cut loose.
The last couple days.
I didn't hear a bunch of
more
names,
guys that are said to
I've
will
heard,
be cut loose.
You know,
loose
there's
today.
A guy that I don't know a whole lot about, but kind of fits the mold of what Belichick has brought in recently, and a lot of our emailers have been talking about. Fernando Bryant.
Fernando.
You know, he's like a 9-year veteran cornerback. The last several years, They've brought in like an 8-9 year veteran guy, Chad Scott,
right.
Eric Warfield, Torrey James, you know, Ty Poole a few right. years before that. They seem to bring in a guy like that. Now, I don't necessarily – well, and there's a chance that Fernando Bryan – I don't really know a whole lot about him, to be honest with you. I'll defer to Tom. He seems to remember all these guys a lot better than any of us.
I remember him more in college, and I really liked him at Alabama. And early in his career, he was a solid corner. Yep. I don't know what he's been up to the last couple of years. I don't know enough about him the last couple of years. Was he in Detroit?
Yeah. I'm just judging it on basically the resume on paper. Seems to fit the kind of bill that Bill
certainly is
has gravitated.
I mean, I'm sure he's on the downside of his career, but he certainly wasn't a scrub NFL player. He was a decent NFL player.
And if we're talking about losing Samuel, maybe losing Gay, you got to have some bodies. You got to have some guys with a little experience who you might actually be able to play.
So I think that's a guy to keep an eye on.
Adam Seward. I'm still on his bandwagon.
I heard you talking about him this morning.
He got the low tender, I believe. He's a 3-4 experienced guy.
What was he drafted?
Mid-round pick or something. Fifth round pick, fourth round pick.
So that low tender, that's what it means, right?
I believe so. The round he was drafted in.
Projo saying today that Gay is close to coming back. Whatever that's worth.
Not much.
That's interesting because I've seen quotes from his agent that haven't really led me to believe that.
Who's his agent?
I forget. But
not the best color man in the business.
Well, I mean, there's like notebooks with five different agents quoted. I don't remember which one.
I haven't heard much about Gabe.
Besides the fact that
this offseason.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but with the exception of Drew Rosenhaus, have you noticed that there's been a lot of really anonymous kind of agents involved with the Patriots free agents right now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Matt, guys,
of the Lee Steinbergs are over. Well, whatever happened to Lee Steinberg?
Well, he's got his own problems.
Does he?
Play it. Open. Yeah. Hit it.
What happened to Lee Steinberg?
You were hitting buttons back. I thought he was a drunk.
He's doesn't got anything.
Or is that David Dunn?
One of them is a drunk. Two conversations.
Well, David Dunn got sanctioned. He's not allowed to do anything.
Except he's negotiating the Derek Anderson deal.
Well, yeah.
Phil Savage said so.
And Steinberg had some issues with that as well.
Right.
Speaking of that, Fred, one of the names that did interest me a little bit was Jason Dunn, the tight end from Kansas City.
Yeah.
He's one of those blocking type guys who can go out and catch some passes. I know that's a position where they may be looking to bring someone independent on the health of their guys, but that was a name that I thought of.
Free agent Clark Hagans, anybody?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, I like Clark Hagans in terms of that veteran.
Fred did show prep. He's got a list over there.
I see him. In terms of that veteran guy with 3-4 experience, we've been talking about him for a few weeks as well. He makes sense.
They need some bodies there, too.
Well, the Colts just released Rob Morris, who was hurt.
No interest.
No interest.
Not at all.
And they also released
Booger McFarlane,
which he's a nose guy, but I don't think.
He's an inside guy.
Booger McFarlane's a nose guy. Did you
very nice.
Oh,
well done.
No, that one went over.
Did you write that down on your paper to make sure you got it right?
No, I didn't.
Say nose guy.
Okay.
Say nose guy.
Calvin Pace? Anyone?
Yeah, that's one.
Calvin Pace is an intriguing guy. Tom and I were talking about him yesterday.
I actually don't think that's going to work out because the guy stunk for 4 or 5 years and had a contract year. And those are the guys I really worry about. You say Samuel. Samuel's got progressively better since he's been a rookie. Now, I know what you're saying, Andy, and maybe he does slack off a little bit, but I think Samuel's a good player regardless.
Oh, I do, too.
You know what I mean? Like,
Trouble is, he's going to be great during right. $100 million.
I just think he's become a good player. Guys like Pace, who are kind of off the radar for a few years, then have that one big season, those are the guys I really worry about giving money to.
Yeah, he really did nothing after being drafted in the first round, and then all of a sudden this year he had like 100 tackles and six or seven sacks.
And those worry because you know he had first-round talent.
Right.
And then he disappeared, and then it was time to get paid, and all of a sudden that first-round talent came back again. So,
and I was reading, I think over the weekend, John Tomasi had a piece about him. And,
a piece?
Did you see like how I
used like
that?
Good job.
And he talked about his rookie year during the bye week. He was like home with his buddies or something, and they were doing some stupid stuff, and he punched his arm through like a glass window or something and severed his bicep, I guess, all the way to the bone. You know, stupid stuff like that. You know, like just the immaturity. I think that I'm not sure he makes a lot of sense on paper. 270-pound line, guy that has the ability to play inside and outside more than likely. He's been in 4-3s with the Cardinals as a strong side outside guy in a 4-3. But I would imagine at that size, he could play inside for a 3-4, and he obviously could play outside because he's done it in a 4-3. So I think on paper, he's intriguing.
And we've learned that Dom Capers, I did a little research. I was just searching
likes
stories.
The tweeners.
Loves, lusts after tweeners. Like that was, you know, I was reading a lot of old stuff about draft, pre-draft work he would do, and he loves the tweener guys. So maybe he'll be with me on the Vernon Golston bandwagon.
And I like Hobson. I think he's a guy that can play inside, can play outside. He's a veteran guy. I don't think he's going to cost you a ton of money. Now, obviously, Bill knows a lot about him because he was with the Jets, so maybe they think he's a stiff. But if they think he's a decent player, I think they could make a play for him.
They need some stiffs. They need anybody. You know, everybody's talking about, oh, Brewski will make his decision today and let them know. Right, even if Brewski and Seau come back, that brings you up to six linebackers, and two of those are Eric Alexander and Pierre Woods.
Right, and you know, I mean, Brewski, 13th year, this would be. Seau, 19th year. I mean, you got to get
younger. If Eric Alexander makes the team again, he's going to be one of my heroes.
Well, he's a special teamer if he makes it again. They just view him as the next Larry Izzo, I guess.
But normally you would have a better player at that position at some point through your life that would kick you off the roster. If this guy can keep making the team, not ever playing a down unless it's the AFC Championship game, and just, I mean, to me, because you have, like you said, two special teamers are the backups.
Right.
That doesn't make much sense.
Which is why I found it funny. I was saying this to Eric, the Sean Crable note out of Michigan, mm-hmm. where he's talked to the Patriots, and it's all ifs, and if we take you, you latch on to Pierre Woods.
To Pierre Woods.
Why? Pierre Woods can't get on the field unless it's a Super Bowl.
All right, well, it's 12:31. That means it is time to take a break now. We'll be right back.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we gotta go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Yeah, let's go, Pats! Woo! Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats! Woo!
And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
He's been a three-time champion, two-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 on a record pace.
Three touchdown passes in the first half.
Now Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free exclusively from the New England Patriots. This authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph. Perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pre-game field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
How long? All right, back here in PFW in progress. Just heated argument. Well, it wasn't an argument.
No.
I'm just mad
it's
at
just
the
you
gas
yelling.
Prices.
Yeah.
Andy was saying that this reports that gas is going up to $4 a gallon, which, you know, okay, so we're in a war and all this stuff's going on and that's going to raise prices. Then why are the oil companies making record profits? That's what kills
That's bull.
It is. It's bull.
And that's not the word you used.
Right.
You know, it's like saying, oh, you know, housing, the house prices are going down, but, you know, real estate companies are making record profits. That doesn't make sense, you know?
But as Andy said, I would love to see if you work for an oil right. company, how you would spin
if
this.
If you got an offer to work for, like, Sunoco tomorrow, you'd have a whole different tune.
Well, no, you guys don't understand how it works.
We're in a recession right now.
It really does not make sense that we're being told that there's no way to stop these prices from going up, yet the oil companies are having record profits.
Good to know for future reference, the Krafts, not major shareholders in any oil corporations.
I'm just mad because I heard we were over there to get
steal the oil.
Steal the oil, which I was all for.
You know,
I
doubled in
less
price
about
since then.
The Iraqis. And then we went over there, we got the oil, and now the prices have gone up. I don't understand.
By the way, Michael Bloomberg said yet again he's not running for president.
That's right.
Did you see that?
That's right. But that does, he said, it doesn't rule out him backing somebody who hasn't
sure.
run yet.
Right.
Well, who cares?
Who hasn't run yet?
Who's not in?
Who's not
yet.
In the race yet?
Yeah. No, our next president's going to be.
He's just
Barack
trying to keep
Obama.
His name.
So
out
a guy
there.
Who's not going to be in the race is talking about somebody he won't name who is not in the race but might be.
Who yeah. might get 2%?
Holy
he's,
crap!
He's
like
who cares?
Of the vote.
He's the Heath Evans of politicians. We don't need the world according to.
Well,
Michael
I don't
want to
get into a whole political discussion because we'll get. Emails saying, why aren't you talking about football? So
let's get back to
so read some players. Emails.
Should we? Okay.
We should.
Let's get to some emails. Gerard says he's pissed off, and he's from Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania. He says, I want to immediately start off by saying, who in the hell do the Jets think they are? Or should I say, who in the hell does Mangini, otherwise known as Mangina, think he is? If the whole Spygate situation wasn't bad enough, now that little bastard is prohibiting his players to talk to the Patriots. The Jets are willing to trade Jonathan Vilma to any team in the NFL just as long as it's not the Patriots. Are you kidding me?
That's good business.
Now, I know that things like this happen in the NFL, but this is just another prime example that Mangini is truly a douchebag. It's okay, though, when we have free agents, he is the first to try to lure them into play for his sorry ass. Mangini, if you are listening, I will fight you to the death, sir. As for you, Fred, I think it's about time we hop into the PFW mobile and get to New York to kick some Jets fan asses, especially that rat bastard fireman, Ed. U-S-U-C-K, suck, suck, suck. Screw the Jets, screw the city of New York, and screw you too, Joe Namath, with your Super Bowl III guarantee. Wow, do I feel a lot better now. Oh, well. But on a much lighter note, that screechy-voiced bastard Myron Cope finally kicked the bucket.
Oh,
no, that's not. That's
I
not,
like him.
Yeah, I did too.
That's not. Anyway, it's Gerard from Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania.
He's from Beaver Falls. He's ripping Joe Namath.
The city that Joe Namath did absolutely nothing for, but still has a shrine built for him in the high school.
Joe Namath is from Beaver Falls.
Yeah.
The thing I would say is I agree with Andy. I think it's smart business, and I've been saying teams should do this for a while
right.
now.
I mean, it's
and I think the only time a lot of trades happen in the division is when a team like the Eagles say, boy, every time we trade with the Cowboys, we make out on the deal, so they keep doing it. But
especially in a division where there's a dominant team.
One, and it's been that
that's
way
the whole
for,
don't
a,
help
for,
the
a,
dominant team.
For a decade.
If the,
right.
if,
a decade.
If the Jets and the Patriots were as bitter rivals as they are right now, but they both stunk, they wouldn't have a provision preventing
right.
him from going to New England. They would have a preventing him going to Miami if Miami was the team that was dominating for the last 5 years.
Right.
The reason it's the Patriots is because he doesn't want to do anything that could potentially help the team that he already can't compete with.
And you don't think that Bill would have done the same thing if the roles were reversed?
Right. I don't think Bill would have given him permission to talk to any of the teams because I don't think that strikes me as his
well,
style. The
did,
one time he did it, it blew up in
here,
his face.
But with Bledsoe, we told him he could only –
Fred, you used that joke.
How many times did you use that?
You used that joke on
it
Tuesday.
It wasn't funny the first time,
Eric
except for this
here,
idiot
so
who's laughing.
I heard
his
it.
Ass off.
Oh, I heard it. Yeah, I just wanted.
He's
to,
laughing.
I just wanted you to
he's
get.
He's laughing
mad.
At you because you said the same joke on Tuesday and no one
it's
laughed at it.
Because I knew you were going to get mad if he said it, so I wanted to encourage him to say.
Saying Drew,
but
you love me everywhere I go.
And the reason why the Jets are allowed to take the free agents is because the team doesn't have any right to stop a free agent from going wherever he wants.
Right.
The Jets
this guy's
have,
under contract.
The Jets have Vilmer under contract, and they don't have to give him permission to talk to any of the teams.
I think it's pretty plausible that the Jets are saying, we don't want our Pro Bowl caliber linebacker going to New England or a spot where they desperately need
right.
help.
Even and, if he sucks, he's good. I mean, he's got talent. Even if he's not good enough to like be great, he's going
I don't
to
really
help them.
I got to be honest with you. I don't understand that whole thing.
What thing?
Vilmer. I mean, were the first couple of years just an aberration?
They don't think he can play in their 3-4 scheme or whatever they want to do.
So I don't really get his whole thing. That we know that the Patriots really were high on him coming out of college,
right.
Which probably also has something to do with the fact that.
Oh, yeah. No question. You know, Mangini knows it and saying, I'm not giving you the bill. He'll make you good. Show how bad
right.
a coach I am.
Right. So, I mean, there's got to be something to that as well. He hasn't really done anything. Well, I thought he was bad last year. Oh, no, bad. In the few games that I saw him play, certainly the games against the Patriots.
Plus, didn't he have microfracture or something major?
He had a significant injury.
Speed-based linebacker?
Well, I believe
now
he did have
now I'm just going to believe that he's going to be fine?
I believe it was microfracture. Now that
Tom, you heard that they were trading him for Roy Williams, not your Roy Williams, the good one.
Actually made that up.
That's a good rumor. I like it.
No, I heard he
makes
was...
Makes sense for both.
I heard the Lions were interested. Remember, they were interested in him 2 years ago
right.
when he was on the block. And I just threw Roy Williams into the
deal. Speedy linebacker to throw in that Tampa 2 with Hot Rod.
But I would imagine...
Why would they trade Roy Williams, though?
They wouldn't.
Because Tom made,
I made
it, up.
It up.
Well, no, I did
no,
see a thing
no,
that there was
a, no, that's
Roy
not,
Williams
yeah,
is on
oh,
the
that's
market.
Right. That's
yes.
why I made it up.
Right.
Because you
the
said
Lions
that.
Are saying he's not on the market. But
right.
obviously, if yeah. they're saying that, then there was rumors that he was on the
Lito
market.
Shepard not on the market. All these guys aren't on the market. Who are on the market?
Well, along the Vilmer lines, also Matt from Quincy says, I got a kick out of the Jets telling Vilmer he could seek a trade with any other team in the NFL besides the Patriots. What's funny to me is that this is nothing but a pure 100% FU to the Pats and nothing else. I say that because, as I recall, the reason Vilmer is looking to depart from the Jets, other than the fact that he seems to despise Mangini, is because of his struggles in the 3-4 defense. Would it make any sense for Vilmer to seek a trade to the Pats as opposed to the many other teams that play the more comfortable 4-3? To me, Mangini is either paranoid or just firing another volley in the border war. And P.S. Andy, interesting point about Adam Seward.
Thank you.
From what I remember, the Pats liked him in the 95 draft better than his teammate Ryan Claridge and were very disappointed when he was taken by Carolina.
Everybody liked him better. Seward was a
better player.
Better prospect
I hope so.
In that draft. And they talked about the fact that they were looking at Seward, and that's sort of how they saw Claridge.
What has he done in the NFL? Anything?
Nothing. Special teamer. But, you know, Bill loves those.
Speaking of coaches firing volleys across the bow, did you hear what St. Tony said today or
no.
yesterday?
I did see that.
What
did he say? You got to tell us.
He's on the cover of this new EA video game about coaching. It's like a coaching video
it's
game.
A coaching video game?
Yeah, NFL coaching video game.
Interesting.
And
I'm interested in
a lot of these video games, they have what they call cheat sheets.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? You've ever heard of those? And they
video
ask
games
they
or
ask
the real
them,
game
will,
for Bill?
Will this game come out with any cheat sheets? He goes, well, we'll only let the Patriots have the cheat sheets.
That's a good one. I got no problem.
But why is that okay for him to say that?
Because he's just busting balls.
No, because...
See, I think it would be funny if Bill's did the same thing, but that's not what he does. So
right.
I'm not saying it's because he said it about Bill. I love when Bill takes his little pot shots, like the geniuses
right.
at the league
right.
and stuff like that.
But it's only
see,
okay.
I think those are funny.
Yeah.
It's only okay if Bill does it. Anyone else does it, and Fred's all up in arms.
Matter of fact, I look for reasons every year to try to elicit one of those kind of responses, like when you're talking about the schedule or something, like, you know, the competition committee, and you kind of set them up for one of those geniuses at the league comments. I think they're very funny.
Who did
Bill
he say? Ask him. I'm sure he'll give you his opinion this year.
Pete Kendall.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah,
I love
Kendall
those.
Started it.
I don't care.
He only
I just
reacts
like,
to it.
But
I
Bill
just,
and,
that, but
Bill and Dungy don't like each other,
but I think
Fred.
It's
we
funny.
Know that.
Yeah,
we don't
funny
know
when Bill does
it.
That
I don't...
was an unsolicited, you know, attack at the Patriots.
It
so,
was.
All right,
I
so
agree
what's,
with you.
So what's the unsolicited attack that the league put to the Patriots?
They do all kinds of stuff that we don't know about that pisses him off.
All right, so they formed a competition committee whenever they formed it, and Bill thinks that those guys are geniuses.
They formed it to attack the Patriots and to keep us down.
In 1960?
That's my point.
You know?
I
they,
mean,
they, he, you know,
the Patriots
they do
stunk
think.
For 30 years. They had the competition.
We've done nothing to Tony Dungy to elicit that attack.
But him and Bill don't like each
right.
other.
Vicious,
we know that.
unmitigated
they
attack.
They don't like each other. They're very different people.
I think it's funny when Bill makes fun of the guys of the league. I think it's funny when other guys make fun
this
of
is
Bill.
A big
I think
issue.
You should make fun of Tony.
You know what? It is a big issue, and you should have thought about that before you cheated.
No.
What's a big issue?
This whole Spygate thing.
Oh, thanks for you know, thanks for telling us
you know,
the big issue.
If Tony Dungy
been going
wants,
strong for
if
six
Tony
months.
Dungy wants to pile on, fine. But, you know, watch your back when you come to Boston.
Yeah, I'm sure he's worried.
That's why I like it. I like the rivalry.
He's threatening
part.
People again.
But why I like it, though, because I like how it brings out the rivalry part. There's not enough good rivalry.
I agree.
Sports.
But the point is, Fred can't take it. If they fire
right.
back, then
but
it
God
would be
forbid
good.
If we play him and run up the score. Oh, you know.
I don't think you have to worry. No. You don't have to worry about running up the score
right.
against the Colts.
You have to worry about them running up the score and you having to throw your red flag and challenge something you don't even know what you're challenging.
Yeah.
The Patriots were the ones that didn't like when they had the score run up on them.
Right.
I just like the rivalry stuff.
You know, so
and part of that might be maybe Dungy's involved with the video game heavily,
so
and I bet
okay.
you Bill isn't because
okay
Bill doesn't use his name.
Make fun of the Patriots, but the Patriots say something,
no.
then it's all.
No,
you know,
I just got
here
finished
they are,
telling
the
you.
Arrogant Patriots.
No,
again.
I just got finished telling you. I think it's very funny when Bill makes his pot shots at people, and you can
I
tell
like when the players do it.
Me too.
You can tell when he's taking shots at the you know the geniuses at the league and guys that know a lot more about this stuff than I do and. I think it's very funny. We all know that Bill thinks he's the smartest guy in the room, no matter where he is. So I know he doesn't think anybody's a lot smarter than he is.
I didn't see Bill making
so
fun
ridiculous.
Of Andy Reid, or I didn't see Bill making fun of.
Well, I didn't see anybody making
you know,
fun of Andy Reid.
The meathead over in the Vikings when he had his ticket problem. He doesn't take pot shots at other teams when they're having a hard time.
You're comparing that.
Patriots
to,
are having
to
a hard
cheating.
Time.
Well,
to,
this is a hard time.
Went 16
to Mike
this,
Tice.
Wait a minute. This is a hard time
for the Patriots.
Yeah. 16 and
you don't
baby.
Think Mike Tice got ridiculed and criticized?
Not
for what
by
he
Bill
did?
Belichick.
Maybe no one asked him.
Well, no one asked Tony Dungy. Either.
Yes, they did. That was a response to a question. Is there a cheat sheet in the game?
Yeah, it had nothing to do with the Patriots.
Of course. Why would you ask that? Of course the guy, whoever was asking the question, was looking for exactly what he
no,
got.
No, he wasn't.
Of course he was.
No.
I read the whole thing.
No, video games have cheat sheets. That's
and they were saying, are you going to have that cheating? and he, I think it was even said, and he obliged, I think was
no.
the way it was written.
He absolutely had nothing
off,
to
guys.
Do with the Patriots.
Of
that's
course
not what,
it did.
It was a writer from a tech
Look, you
online
can these are two
tech.
Guys who haven't played a video game
it was
in 30
it was,
years.
That's fine, Fred, but I read the whole thing, and the guy that asked the question completely asked
who
the question
the
hoping to get the response that he
absolutely
got. That's
not.
The way it was written.
Absolutely not.
Who was the guy, Fred?
It was a guy from, like, Flex Online or some gaming site.
Well, that's not the email that I was sent by some fan today.
Oh, well, somebody that would send you an email, I could understand.
You'll get
you're
to
all,
it.
You're
you'll
all
get,
on board.
You'll get to it shortly. You shouldn't really be making fun of our listeners.
You're all on
just
board.
Just so you know.
Let me tell you something. It had nothing to do with the Patriots. Dungy brought it into the Patriots.
Look, I think it's funny when Bill makes fun of other people. I think it's funny when other people
but
make fun of
making
Bill.
Making fun
of call me crazy. I guess maybe I have a warped sense of humor.
This is
I'm
piling
sorry.
On. This is piling
and
on.
And I think
and this
that's
from
funny.
The guy who was supposed to be, you know, Mr. Righteous.
I don't think it's funny to pile on Andy Reid for having two kids that are going to jail for drugs. I don't find a lot of humor in that.
Well,
I think is funny. This is something
I know
you brought
you think,
on yourself.
You know, I know. Well, anyway.
What?
You know, Bill Belichick gets offended when people say he was cheating, and rightly so.
Well,
you're not cheating when you're out in the open doing something.
I'm sorry, but
this
that's
gets
his
back
own
to that
fault.
Whole you break a rule. Are you cheating? It's not
well,
cheating.
No. Well, I mean,
somehow the definition of cheating is if you care if anybody catches you.
Right.
That's the definition of
well,
cheating.
The
you're
idea
doing
of
it out in the open
to try to get away with it, right? No.
No, it's to gain an unfair
no,
advantage.
It's to gain an advantage. Even if you're doing it out in the open,
so anytime
still
you try to gain an advantage, you cheat.
So in other words, if Roger Clemens is shooting himself
rule.
In the ass in front of everybody, he's not cheating?
In front of everybody, no.
Okay. All right. As long as you're consistent.
Well, he must think it's okay if he doesn't care about getting
and that's
caught.
All that matters, that he thinks it's okay, not that the league that
thank
makes
you.
Up the rules.
Well,
thank you, Andy.
Obviously,
Andy,
he
I
said
appreciate,
he was wrong.
Andy, I appreciate you not taking the rest
holy
of the show off.
Moses.
I needed that.
No, Belichick admitted I was wrong about my interpretation, but he was not trying to get away with anything. What
okay.
was he trying to get away with?
I don't know, but that's one of the greatest moments since I've been working here.
Well, tell me what
the open. No.
tell me what Bill Belichick thought he was getting away with. Tell me.
Fred.
Answer the question.
I'm not in the answer argument, the Fred. I just thought that was funny.
Well, I don't know how we got back to Spygate.
Anyone.
I thought
what?
We left this one behind, but
well, you think whatever. That it's totally okay for Tony Dungy to make
fun of the Patriots.
No, I
for
didn't
cheating.
Say anything about the right or wrong aspect. I just thought it was funny. That's all.
But you don't.
And I said maybe it's a warped sense of humor. I don't know.
So, and you don't think the Patriots should take offense at that?
Do you think the league should take offense at the comments that Belichick makes? Because I don't.
I think they should.
Well, I don't.
I think they should. I think the league thinks that they're trying to work as hard as they can for the best interest of all the teams, not just the Patriots. And if Bill Belichick doesn't like it, come up with a better way for
it. But that's like a philosophical
question that was asked. Are there going to be cheat codes in the game where I can spy on my opponents? No, that was just a coincidence.
The word spy is in it, Fred.
That's video game talk.
Fred just realized he's
wrong. By the way, Tony Dungy laughs at the question and then says, I don't know about any cheat codes. They say that's really a big secret around here. It's like Spygate. I mean, and then he goes on to say, I don't know, maybe they put it in there, what the penalty would be if you cheat, but we'll probably only let New England have cheat codes.
See? That's funny.
That's funny to me. I'm sorry.
But you don't think that...
You're being hypocritical. If you laugh when Bill Belichick makes fun of the league, then you can't get mad when somebody else makes fun of the Patriots and Bill Belichick.
You don't think that Bill Belichick should take offense at that?
You're being Gary. When he makes fun of people and then we turn it on him and he pushes the mic away.
I think that this is a very...
Either making fun of people is okay or it isn't.
I think Bill Belichick has been called
a
cheater.
From the guy who walked out of the room when we were making
fun of
him.
He's been called a cheater by...
He was throwing the tuner away because you were bitching that it smelled.
Wait a minute. He's been called a cheater by people in the media, okay?
Yeah.
He's been penalized for something that he admits, yeah, I was wrong,
yep.
Okay? But to be called a cheater by your own peers...
Who hate you.
That's crap.
Who hate you, and you hate them. You've never made one outreach to be part of the NFL coaches. You do your best to stand alone.
I think there's been
when
a
you
lot
stand
of coaches
alone,
that have gone out
you
of the...
You stand alone at success, and you stand alone
that's
at failure.
That's crap. I think there's a lot of coaches that have gone out of the way to say, to defend Bill Belichick.
There's been some.
Most of them retired.
You know,
but I think he reaps what he sows in that. If he wants to stand alone in everything he does, if he wants to be on an island, kind of.
Yeah, I don't think
you're on an island.
I don't think you see him piling on other coaches.
But he does his best to stand alone.
To answer your question,
30 coaches do press conferences at the combine. He doesn't.
Well, that has nothing to do with this, though.
He lays a foundation of I stand alone. I'm my own guy.
I understand it.
So if you do that, don't expect allies during good or bad times. You stand alone.
Well, I don't think he's looking for guys to be his ally, but I don't think he's looking for guys to pile on
either.
That
sucks. You don't earn anything if you stand alone.
You asked the question, should he be offended by that or not? I'm not here to tell Bill or anybody else what they should or shouldn't be offended by. I'm just telling you that when I read that, I laughed. I thought it was funny. Just like... Oftentimes, when Bill has his sarcastic comments about other things around the league that we all know don't necessarily involve us or him, he makes comments I think that are funny. I think those are rare times that I think he allows us a little bit of a window into his personality that I think are interesting.
I like those moments.
I can't be a fraud and like them when my guy is given them and don't like them when someone else's guy is given them.
But the example you give is, you know, okay, the genius is at the league.
But that's just one example, Fred. He does it.
Is like Freddie Mitchell after Freddie Mitchell.
Not just Freddie Mitchell.
What then?
There's been countless times, Fred.
Like,
why do you pretend?
CBS.
I just want to remind me of what they are.
The former GM.
Charlie Casserly.
He took
why
a shot at
Phil Sims. Phil Sims only gave his opinion, Fred. Now, that's a good one for you to argue because Phil Sims just gave his opinion on the Patriots, and he said something to Phil Sims, right?
Yep.
And I thought that was funny.
What did he say?
I forget.
Go ask Phil. I'm sure Phil knows everything.
I'm sure Phil knows it all. Ask him or something to those lines. I think it's funny, and I think it's interesting when he actually lets you know what he's thinking. So I don't.
We're all human. We all react to things.
I don't have any problem with him doing. Sometimes
I
agree with him. Sometimes
I don't. Tony Dungy from what he said.
I just thought it was funny
that he's reveling in this. He loves it.
Don't you think a lot of coaches are reveling in this?
You know what?
And if they had the chance to take a shot,
they
would.
You can think whatever you want about the severity of it,
but for the grace of God, go you.
Yeah. Okay. Be careful. Well, you know, I think the other guys can be careful. They're not going to break that rule.
I think Bill Belichick has been called a cheater.
Well, I think he should be. That's my opinion. That's fine. He cheated. He broke rules. He got punished for it. It's over. I'm done with it. I have no ill will against him for it.
Caught?
It's over.
I mean,
what do you mean?
He was doing it in the wide open.
But that's irrelevant. I know in your world that's relevant, but in the real world of laws, rules, everything, if you get caught, you get caught. If I hand answers to a kid across the aisle in a test and don't try to fold it up and do it, I'm still cheating.
Whether the paper is big or little, I'm cheating.
But in
the method he was doing it, isn't that proof that he thought?
It doesn't matter what he thought.
Fred, okay. let's say
it does matter.
Let's
what
say
he
I let's say I go down Route 1 here to the nearest bank, and I walk in and just sort of like walk behind where the tellers are, grab a bunch of money out of the safe, and leave.
Because
the bank.
There's a clear cut law against that.
Well, there's a clear cut law.
He thought that there was.
It doesn't matter what he thought. Everybody else thinks it's. They just said at the combine, it hasn't even been considered that they're going to rewrite that rule in any way because it's as clear as it could possibly be.
They're going to have to rewrite the rule because the rule.
No, they're not doing it. They just said at the combine they're not.
The only. Yeah. Well, I don't care what they said. The rule.
They're the competition committee. They write the rule.
Listen to me.
And
the
that's
rule,
why they're the geniuses
listen,
of the league.
Listen. The only thing that usurped the rule that's written is the memo. The rule still remains. If you go by the rule, Belichick. Right.
Well,
the memo.
That's your opinion. That's not my opinion.
The memo superseded that, yes, but it's still not. They haven't rewritten the rule yet.
And right. They're not going
to. I don't think they needed to. I think there's only one guy, and I
distress. You might know more,
Andy,
but the competition committee, the people that rewrite the rules.
If they said that, think about it. You're a smart kid. If they said that, they would admit that Belichick's right.
No, they
now
would admit
I know
that
he's grasping. He just called Andy
every
smart.
Year they change rules, Fred.
No, Andy, you.
That's an admission that the rules stink.
Exactly. If they felt, if
so
they,
they're going to let
I
them
ask him a question.
Why did, Andy? Why did they have to come out with that memo?
What memo? Because Belichick was cheating, and they slapped him
oh,
on the wrist
the
three
one?
Times. He got caught.
He was the only one. Cheating?
I don't know if he was the only one, but I think that's why he did it openly. That, because he'd been caught a number of times, and it didn't matter.
That memo was sent to every team.
Exactly, and he kept cheating
three
handfuls
why
of times
did they
after
have
that.
To send that memo? Because the rule as it was written had a loophole in it.
No, because people were cheating. It doesn't necessarily mean there was a loophole.
No, because the interpretation of the rule allowed for what Belichick was doing
Fred,
in technicality.
But this happens in all – no, it doesn't.
Yes, it did.
No, it doesn't.
And that's why they came out with the memo to clarify it.
They now, came out with the memo because he'd been caught, reprimanded, and he said, well, I didn't
so why
think
did
I was
all
breaking the rule.
Why did all the teams – what about when we kicked the Jets cameraman off? Last year.
You know what? If that had been turned into the league in video evidence and the Patriots had made a stink about it, right. It probably would have been an issue.
Right, but we don't do that.
Well, you're changing your argument.
Because we realize,
substitute
no,
Andy Hart for Paul Perillo, and that's
crap.
My life
no,
the last 6 years.
We realize that there was a loophole in the rule, and we want to take advantage of it, too. So why
there was
why,
no loophole.
Why kill
Fred,
the golden
whether
goose?
You sorry. Choose to think there's a loophole or not, okay, but there wasn't a loophole.
Right.
But,
I'm
except
sorry.
They felt they had to clarify it by putting out a memo.
Because but you Bill, kept cheating and claiming there was a loophole.
Bill Belichick, in
so
my
why
opinion,
not just point to the rule and sanction
because they,
them then?
Because Belichick.
Obviously
yes,
that didn't work.
That didn't work, so they said.
And it's
I
CYA,
really want
to
put. It's when the mother says, let me say this very slowly in terms you can understand. That's what they did.
Oh, so Belichick's stupid.
That's my
I
point.
Never said
I know
they
he's
were
not
stupid.
Stupid, and that's why I know he knows full well what that rule
how
meant.
How did we get into
he
this?
He didn't need any clarification.
Right.
There's only one person on this planet that thinks that he didn't know that he was breaking a rule, and that's Bill Belichick. Everybody else knows full well what he knew.
Right. So he
please.
Did instead of getting away with it, which you could easily, right? I mean, there's a million ways to do what he did and not get caught. Yes or no?
I have no idea.
Oh, come on.
I'll go yes there.
Of course. But he chose to do it in a wide open.
Mm-hmm.
Because done before
because he
and
was
been
doing
caught before
is that cheating?
And not
well,
got in
yes,
trouble.
It's cheating.
No, it's cheating if
it's,
you do
it's
it.
Cheating because I think and I can still do it and no one's going to call me on it. That's still cheating.
No, the it's, reason why he didn't think anyone was going to call him on it was
because he was doing it for 7 years and no one had called him on
and
it.
And other teams had been too.
No, but they had called him on it and nothing happened. They'd been told to stop. That's it. No fines, no anything.
All of a sudden, we morphed into a show from September 15th.
Well, why, Fred I mean, just told us Spygate's a major this? Issue.
It is. And I think that, you know, I don't
you.
Need Tony Dungy, you know, piling on. Mr. Self-righteous.
Fine.
Mr.
All right. Tony
Mr.
Dungy
Mr.
should
you
know, have said
Saint
it.
Tony.
But all I'm saying here is
everything
that
Tony does is absolutely
fine. You
pure.
Know what? He's,
maybe
he's
Pelion
evil.
Put him up to it.
The only
that's
issue
okay.
I have here.
That's okay.
The only issue I have here, Fred, is, and this is a big pet peeve of mine in all walks of life, is people that they like making fun of, and you guys are going to turn this on me, but like making
yeah,
fun of other
exactly.
people, but can't take it. That bothers me. And you're getting all up in arms defending your boy Bill Belichick.
Yeah, that would
but
bother
he
him.
Takes
yeah.
shots at people.
Yeah, but I think.
What? I don't get mad.
Sure you do. You left like earlier.
I was
mad.
Throwing out the freaking tuna. Jesus, you complained
already?
That it smelled. I do you a favor and take your three
oh,
garbages out, and you get mad.
Tom calls him a meathead. He elbows
today,
Tom
huh?
in the back of the head as he walks out the room.
Seriously. I never touched him.
Not what I saw.
Listen,
well, then you're blind, fat man.
The food's here. Fred, I think you need to take a break, get something in your stomach. You're all red over there.
I just don't think. And
Fine. Tony Dungy shouldn't have said it.
He's a bad guy.
He's a bad guy.
Well, and also,
he's my kind of guy. Anybody that takes shots at other people, good job, Tony.
I also think that when you do something in the wide open that's not against the law, like going into a bank and taking
but
money.
But it's against, the laws of the National Football League.
Well,
those are the laws you play under.
Yeah.
I just think that's a very odd way of looking at it.
I mean, you know, if it was that important. And
Fred, if I go out and deck somebody in the office, I'm getting arrested. But on the field, it's okay because it's part of the laws.
The Patriots could have achieved the end goal without getting caught.
But they were getting away with it, apparently.
Not as effectively as that. Can we argue with that?
I don't know about that. I'm guessing there's video cameras in this stadium that they could turn from that security room on the coaches, and my guess is they will be next year.
And you don't think it's better to have it right on the sideline like that?
But Fred, the point is,
those cameras that they claim can read a dime 10 miles away.
Then I got to tell you, then he's even dumber than even you're making him out to sound.
Because he didn't want to cheat,
Fred.
He just wanted the fruits of cheating. He didn't want to cheat.
Okay, so
he just wanted the fruits of that labor.
So let's say there's more than one way to skin a cat in this case. Okay. But if they're doing it one way and they're comfortable doing it that way and nobody's calling them on it, why would they do it any other way?
I just thought getting, you know, the up-close audio and video and all that stuff, I thought that was a little bit more of an advantage, but evidently I'm wrong.
You know, I don't want to
get the same thing being in the 300 level.
All I could think of during this whole thing was, now let's bring in our board of directors, Fred Kirsch. So you guys don't understand, when you pay for oil...
Take a break. It's really 1 o'clock. It's a good break time.
It's just, it is. It's completely unfair.
Of course it is.
You know, it's piling on, and you're calling a guy who has
the utmost respect for the game,
probably anyone else, a cheater.
That's
Fred,
another issue. Just because you say you have the utmost respect for the game doesn't mean you have the utmost respect for
Fred,
the game.
Fred, your main point, which was made, I think, 45 minutes ago, I do agree with you that Dungy was taking a shot. I mean, that's obvious.
Absolutely, he was taking
a shot. It's a shot, and I love it.
It's a shot, and because he doesn't like Bill, and Bill doesn't like him, and I think with those two, they've stopped pretending. After
this
year's game, they just walked by. I mean, they don't like each other, and they don't care.
They have totally different views on everything.
Yes, and they don't care who knows it.
Right, and they shouldn't. That's fine. They can both be men and have their beliefs and
their values. And on that, I'm 100% behind you on that one, Fred. I totally agree with you. I think he was definitely taking a shot, and I think it was intentional.
What are you sitting over there just shaking your head, throwing your hands up for? What does that mean?
All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac-A-Tac sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac-A-Tac sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we gotta go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything!
Let's go, Pats! Woo! Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats! Woo!
And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
He's been a three-time champion, two-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 on a record pace.
Three touchdown passes in the first half.
Now, Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free. Exclusively from the New England Patriots, this authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph. Perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points
Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots extra points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact, too. Autographed mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
All right, back here in PFW Progress. Here's a little shocker. Strippers has just sent us an email. He says, according to Packers.com, Brett Favre will retire after 15 years in the NFL.
Oh, thank God.
Get out.
Was right after his guy, the new president, said he was thought he was coming back.
Yeah, just go enough, Brett.
So
enough.
That's pretty big
go
news.
Away.
I think it's good he told him. Well, I think you got
to
feel he felt like this was their final, like this was their run, and this was the year that they had the shot.
Plus, it was his year. I mean,
strippers, though, we have a question for you. Paul and I were talking about this off the air, and we've been meaning to ask you. Oklahoma always has these great athletes on defense, you know, these great players. But then they come to the NFL, and none of them are really anything. I mean, I'm sure you could find one or two. But in general, the guys from Oklahoma don't make a huge impact in the NFL. Now, maybe they're overrated, and that's why they're getting their butt stomped by West Virginia and USC in bowl games. But their prospects go pretty high, and they're nothing in the NFL. So we were wondering what your thought was on that, because I'm sure you've backed every Oklahoma player that's ever come into the NFL. So give us a quick rundown on that if you can.
All right. Steve Moore from London says, could you guys give me some insight as to what the fans on the street in the USA think about the NFL games taking place outside the states?
They don't like it.
Don't like it and don't really care.
Obviously, the league thinks it's a great way to bring in more money, but I'm interested to know what the fan websites and radio shows are saying stateside about this. We had the Finns versus Giants at Wembley in London last year. As a Pats fan, I went to the game supporting the Giants. Little did I know that 6 months later, they would be beating us in the Super Bowl. We have a Saints versus Chargers game scheduled to take place in London this year as well. Maybe the 08 Super Bowl winner will be one of those two teams.
That's kind of funny, because if the Giants lose that game, they might not even make the playoffs.
Right, yeah.
Wow.
I think most people here feel like, oh, great, that's another game I can't go and see.
I think the fans of the locals.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, I think the local fans don't like it, and I think the national fans don't care.
Don't care.
Right.
I think they find out the day before, oh, that game's in London?
I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, there's no, like, you know, need to see the game on TV, or, oh, I got to watch that game. Or,
right.
You know.
Now, people who matter, oh, like Tom Coughlin was raving about it, like, they're being good soldiers.
No, Michael Strahan said it was one of the best times of his life.
Right.
Yeah, for them, it's a
great
trip, probably.
The league should make sure that it is, so that they'll say things like that in the next
team. Well, he said after the game, he went to a party. He said, top three of all time. Top three party of all time he's ever been to.
That's saying something. Yeah.
Wasn't the penthouse party at a...
I don't think he made it to that one, although he is a man, so he could have been there somewhere.
There were still reports that he liked other men.
Every man in Arizona was there, I guess, right?
Eric's still kicking himself that he didn't go.
Oh.
What? He wanted to go.
Mish from Montreal says, one, Eric, when you have a point to make or a story to tell, stop letting the rest of the guys step all over you. Get out and find yourself a pair of balls, man. With your past experience, it shouldn't take you long. Oh.
I was going to say he's been looking for a good pair of balls for years.
Waiting for the punchline there.
Two, great point last show, Paul. Your speculation as to why Moss was not franchised moved right to my number two on the list. My main belief is still that they've already agreed in principle, but your idea that perhaps when Moss first came here and restructured, he asked for what Samuel got, which is no franchise this year. Which brings up an interesting point. Why haven't players and agents started having a no franchise tag clause written into their contracts? Three, Aqib Talib sucks.
Plus, I don't think you could.
And it's bad business for the team.
Bad business for the team, and I bet you can't do it in advance, right?
Maybe, I don't know.
I mean, you can't ever that would, like, you have an NFL rule that you'd be writing out of the guys immediately.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like the board or whatever would pass that.
Aqib Talib sucks, and after watching hours upon hours of combine coverage, I saw Deion Sanders and Rod Woodson, but I can officially say that not one single person there was Ed Reed.
Well, I don't know if there's anyone on the planet who's Ed Reed.
What is it?
That the guy said the, he's no Ed Reed.
The guy was comparing him and saying, well, he's not Ed Reed. And we were saying, or somebody was saying, oh, well, I can name you 31 other guys who aren't Ed Reed out there.
Too. The one thing I wanted to say about the – Andy, I think you made a great point last show is when I said I haven't seen Cromartie play and you said nobody has. I love how all these, like, fans and the people are all over this guy. I want to know how many Tennessee State games these people have seen. Because one of the things about seeing a player and liking him, like, if a fan writes in and says, I like Darren McFadden, I know you saw him play on ESPN and everything, but don't write into us and tell us you like Cromartie. You don't know nothing about him. No,
they know
nobody,
the name.
Yeah, nobody does.
And to take it a step further, not only you didn't see the guy play, but there's got to be an element of the fact that
His last name is Cromartie.
Yes.
And he's related.
Know, and the guy's just Antonio happens to be coming off a great, great season.
Right.
So that adds to it. You know, there's been a lot of guys from small schools over the years that go in the first round. You know, way back when Tyrone Poole came out, he went to like Fort Valley State or something like that. He was a first round pick.
Jerry Rice.
Pittsburgh just got rid of
Darryl Green.
Coakley. Yep. You know, I'm talking about corner, Darryl Green's one. Mm-hmm. Ricardo Coakley was one of those small school guys. Those guys get buzz. You know, you hear about them because they're like
the
diamonds.
Love to do that.
They're diamonds in the rough. But
small school.
No, none of the fans in February are clamoring for Ricardo Coakley. It's because the guy's name is Cromartie that people are jumping on that bandwagon and saying, oh, they got to get him.
And because
somebody put him in their list of top three
ABs. Right. We're not saying the guy can't play at all, but we're just saying, trust us, we see these films, and when you play at Tennessee State, we can't tell you the difference from when we see guys play at USC. There is a huge, huge difference. Now, like I said, maybe he's the best corner in the draft. We don't know yet. But for fans to keep writing in on SPFW saying we have to get this guy, how about someone sees him play first before we start? And we have to use the seventh pick on a guy from Tennessee State.
Yeah, and play against teams that are better than the teams that Tennessee State
plays.
And
he's got a ton of athletic ability. I mean, no one's ever going to question that. But I think he's a guy you got to be careful with because we use the words overdrafted. He's probably going to be one of those guys that gets overdrafted based on how you think he's going to be 3 years down the line.
Or he might be a guy that really was one of those diamonds in the rough and the better competition he plays, the better he gets. It pushes him. It brings out the best.
But
all
I
that
just,
crap.
Man, I think
not, this is not to make fun of him as
no,
a player because
no.
I don't know anything.
Right.
I agree with
but
Tom's original
I
point.
I just think it's funny that if you mention like a Kaysan or someone like that, guys from a bigger school, people are like ripping them apart and dissecting them. But then you mention Cromartie and we can't wait to get him.
Mish also says, how sweet would it be if the Pats had a backroom deal with another team and managed to get Vilma?
Cromartie.
Actually, wait, even better. Vilma comes here. The Pats travel to the Meadowlands, and with 9 seconds left, Vilma sacks the quarterback, strips the ball, picks up the fumble, fights off two Jets, scores the game-winning touchdown, and gives Mangini's end zone camera the business. That would be sweet.
Well, Fred, you wouldn't like
sweet.
That.
That's
okay.
Don't pile on.
That's
no,
okay.
Fred wouldn't like that because it would be a close game. He doesn't like that.
Oh.
That's true.
He would have a heart attack and not be able to handle it.
He's going to have a heart attack in this studio. Biting and sucking down a meatball sub.
They make a good meatball.
Now, this on the flat belly diet, not on the flat belly diet?
This is Weight Watchers.
Oh, you're on Weight Watchers?
You're on the flat
belly.
Because
I have a sheet that tells you how many points that is.
Yeah,
so you're done for the day.
It's a lot. That's
what
it.
Happened to
That's
the flat
it for
belly
us
Fred?
Today, Fred. Yeah. That's it for us today.
It's as round as a ball.
What?
What happened to the flat belly thing?
It's too complicated.
Too complicated.
Yeah.
I thought your wife was doing all the work for you.
I don't know why you're worried about it. Just ask Eric. If it's too complicated, he'll decipher it for you.
He'll give you his prurient views.
Let's see. Mike,
you just like using that word now. See?
I still don't
know
what it
means. I've succeeded in my goal of making you that much smarter.
I've learned
that
I like,
word that
and that's what you
before.
Need Eric for.
I like prurient and I like snark.
Well, I definitely like snark.
Mike in Vienna, Virginia. I think I'm finally moving on from the Super Bowl loss, although the wound still stings. Of course, the imminent start of free agency has me thinking what the Pats will do to help the defense next year. We all know they work in the linebacker core. They need work in the linebacker core and secondary. Today I came across an article talking about how Lance Briggs is going to free agency. I know the Bears won a 4-3, but do you think Bill would consider picking him up to play in the 3-4? Either way, I feel like the Pats need to pick up a linebacker or a corner in free agency who can start immediately next year. Then they need to draft the position they did not get to pick up in free agency. God knows, Bruschi, Seau, and Hobbs are not going to cut it.
Good,
I agree with that philosophy.
A good point. The problem is there's not a heck of a lot of guys out there who could fit that bill at this point. There are a few.
What do you guys think of Lance Briggs?
I don't think he should play here.
Last year he said flat out that he had no interest in playing in a 3-4. I mean,
I tell you what, if they show him
enough
money, does
that scare you away? Is that enough to scare you away?
No,
doesn't
San Fran
run a 3-4?
Well, no, they tried to, and then they pulled back from it because they didn't have the personnel.
Was it injuries?
I think
Which McCullough got hurt?
No, they just decided they weren't going to be able to do it. I think.
I tell you what, if the Pats felt he could play in that in the 3-4. And they gave him enough money, I'm sure he would say, yeah, I'll give it a try.
I agree.
Yeah.
I'm sure that he would give it a try, but do you want to bring the guy in when he doesn't really necessarily want to fit into that system?
He may think he doesn't, but
if Pats giving him more money than everybody else because that's not going to happen.
If they think he can do it, I could see them trying to make a play.
Here's the problem with Briggs. He plays in the exact opposite system than what the Patriots run. I mean, the Bears run a true Tampa 2 type scheme, and like you guys were saying, it'd be up to Bill to figure out. Well, he does fight off blocks. He can do this. He can do that. And if that's the case, and I'm sure he would take the money and come here.
Yeah, I don't think we'll be seeing Lance Briggs.
I don't either. I was just wondering what you guys thought, if that was enough to kind of scare you away. Do you look into it?
That.
Do you take the tires?
I think part of why he doesn't want to play here is he doesn't think he's a good fit.
Yeah.
And I think that's because I don't think he's a good fit.
He's probably not a good fit. Yeah. He's a good player, though.
Yeah, sure. As long as you don't give him a Lamborghini and tell him to drive.
That's true.
Eric Bennett wants to know if we have any insight on Boise State junior standout cornerback Orlando Scandrick.
None.
I got to be honest with you. I've never heard that name.
He might be on the tapes we're going to look at.
Well, he ran a blazing 40.
Yeah, we're going to pick up.
First of all, can we talk about that, Tom?
You
and
like
I have been talking about
the second or third guy for the 40 for defense.
Everybody at the combine ran a blazing 40. Mm-hmm. I'm calling BS on the 40s coming
out.
Now
everyone runs a 4-3.
Every single DB ran a 4-3. Safeties,
kind of,
4-3s.
Kind of backing up your conspiracy theory. Correct me if I'm wrong, guys. You Tom and Andy, you were there last year. Weren't the times kind of universally slow last year?
Yeah, because
with the exception of Calvin Johnson,
Peterson
who, like,
ran a
4-4.
Right. They were a little slow.
Weren't there a lot of people
that
people were like, oh,
realistic.
Wow, he ran
I don't know
a,
if they were slow or they were more realistic. I don't buy this year's times. I think they're false.
But I'm,
I think the thing was 36 yards or something.
I'm defending you.
Screwed up when they painted that field.
A lot of players last year, I think, were disappointed with their times. How many guys came out and talked to you guys telling you what they were going to run?
Johnny Lee Higgins?
And then went out and ran about 300s or even more than that sometimes, slower than they said they would.
Yeah.
I'm wondering
if
maybe
that.
The players kind of said, hey, you know, this is this and this and that. Now, let's face it, times are times. They didn't.
Nah, I'm not saying. I don't agree with that statement. I'm saying this year they're wrong.
But my point is they weren't making them slow, but they might have done something to make them fast.
I think
there's no reason that they would have made them slow.
Could be an honest error. Like I said, it could have been a 36-yard course.
I just, the problem I had, I've said it before, and I think this is another one of the reasons, Andy, it could be, is that I think more and more people are starting earlier to train for these two things, the bench press and the 40. And you like, here's the thing, the Clady guy for Boise State, everyone says he has quick feet, he has great mechanics, he needs to get a little bit stronger.
Right.
I'd rather have that than Jake Long, who you have questions about his feet, but put up 37 reps of 225. I can get anybody, train them to put up 37 reps of 225 at that. And I think people are training for this 40-yard dash, and that's why I always say, look at your – use your eyes. You telling me that some of those guys are running faster than Adrian Peterson? Because I've seen Adrian Peterson in the open field, and if that's a 4-4 and some of these guys are running a 4-3 or a 4-2 or whatever the heck they're giving them,
four.
I'm not buying that for a second.
By the way, I'll give you $1,000 if you can get Paul to do 30-plus reps at 225 by next year's
combine. I said that size.
Oh.
Someone at
okay,
that
okay, I'll
size.
Give you $1,000 if you can get Paul to do.
He couldn't get me to do one. Never mind 36.
Like Vernon Golston. If you think he's a great player, that's fine. But whatever he did at the combine is meaningless to me because the guy's a physical freak. He put up 37 reps. He did. I mean, we all expected
everything.
That.
He was at the top.
You have to look at him on film because he can go to any kind of testing situation and he's going to be phenomenal.
Now, Tom, you did receive a package in the mail yesterday.
Yes, we got the.
He got one with tapes in it too.
Yeah, we got the tapes. They're here. They're being put on
DVD.
They'll be done
by
today.
The time. They should be done now.
So really? Next week, when the paper's done, we'll start getting into those and putting it on the web and everything.
By the show on Tuesday, we should have at least seen some of them because on Monday, I would imagine we could dive into those a little
bit. What are we going to start with?
Linebackers, corners, safeties, that type of thing.
If Chris Ferreira can do his job, we're also efforting to get some sort of spreadsheet table thing where we're going to list the video guys that we watch
can't do his job.
And put little comments next to it, what we see.
Nice.
You know, individual.
Are we going to allow people to watch the videos?
That sounds like a contractual issue you'd have with the video provider.
Oh. I would say no.
Why do I have to tell you that? You're the director of new media.
I don't know. Tom, you made the deal.
No, we're not. They're not watching the videos. Seeing that they came in something that I've never seen, I don't even know what they are. They're
beta
like
cam.
Large.
Betacam SP.
That
which
is what
is
they
like
come in every,
something
every
from
year,
30 years ago that they're using. I don't understand it. So
Bob Doyle, who is transferring those for us onto DVDs, says that's how they come.
Probably the most universal format. That would be my guess.
Yeah, that's coaches.
Like if
game.
You request tape from Troy, I bet you they got Betacam. If you're telling me it's old,
it's very old. Yeah, but I mean we're in
now USC probably has only like what we
have DVDs.
Here. No, they probably just go straight to
digital
like the
video.
Coaches.
Yeah.
You know, like on their laptop. No DVD involved. Just straight files.
Mm. Did you hear Pete Carroll has his own website now?
No, but I heard people ripping his boy Mark Jackson at the combine.
Pete Carroll.
Oh, really?
Boy, did he screw up the Jamarcus Russell negotiations.
Really?
Head negotiator. And according to those in the know, he screwed that up worse than any negotiation in the history of sports.
Really?
Didn't know what he was doing. They ended up
paying
more.
Did you just talk
more.
To one person at the combine? Because I
no,
know exactly
with,
where this is coming
no,
from.
No. There were two or three Raiders people right in our area. Because I think Nancy Gay sat down first, and then a couple of her cohorts joined her.
Yep.
Then the Weiss guy sat there. I don't know why he sat there.
She was saving the spot for him. I guess they're friends from, I don't know why, but.
Come to think of it, Nancy Gay might have a thing for
you.
All right.
The brothers.
Relax.
This kid lives in a world of his own.
he really does.
Well, I'm just piecing it together how the order came. And
yeah,
she. Can.
Yeah.
Mike Gerken says, now that you have had time to go over Andy and Eric's notes, I was wondering who you thought moved up and down based on this week's combine. Here are a couple for me. He thinks the winners were Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie. After a solid Senior Bowl, he looked good once again in the drills. Could he go as high as 7 after a questionable interview with the Patriots?
He could be.
How do we know he had a questionable interview?
I'm not touching that guy.
What was his questionable interview?
Yeah.
Did he have don't know.
Do we know that?
I didn't hear anything about that, but. I think 7 is way too high, even for any of the other corners in this draft. But
I think he's a riser.
He's definitely a
and
riser.
I think he's
but
a
I don't
riser
think it's 7.
In part because Tlaib's a faller.
Yeah. Although Kayson helped his cause with the with his 40 time.
Didn't get a lot of buzz though. Not a buzz guy.
Because maybe
no. He's just one. That's why I like him. He's just one of them consistent type of guys, and he'll probably go beginning of round 2. And that's probably where we'll end up going.
Another winner, according to Mike Gerken, is Leotis McKelvin. He ran fast, looked like he could finally catch a football, and did well in the drills. Also sounded like he did real well in interviews.
Well, and real well with interviews, he's the cockiest SOB on the face of the planet.
I was going to say, so basically we're judging this well and not well in interviews by the way they sound when you hear the sound bites?
I guess so. Yeah.
And by the way.
The articulate nature with.
Yeah,
know,
don't go by
and
that.
Also by what they say about their interviews with teams, not what the team says about their interviews.
Yeah, some of the guys would tell us, like, yeah, I met with the Patriots and I thought it went
well. It went
well.
They did that, whatever.
You know, so.
It's all based
on
the player.
I'm sure that no one says I met with the Patriots and it went terribly.
No, that Chris Ellis might have, the weak guy.
And we know the Patriots aren't saying how it went.
Right,
so.
That's my point.
Yeah.
His third winner is Athiba Rubin, perfect fit for nose tackle in the 3-4, was second in lifting, and for a guy close to 325 to have a 28.5-inch vertical is fantastic.
Can he get through double teams?
I don't know.
Well, that's all I care about.
Right. I like the guy out of Texas.
The guy Oakham? They were, well, I would have told you the rest of the story if Rich Eisen had let him. but he was the guy that came in a little heavy.
Yeah,
and
a lot heavy. I believe the weight I had listed for him going in was like 320 something, and he was 347 or
347,
something.
347,
yeah. So you're talking 20 something pounds over his last weight.
But here's the, like, why would I care? Like, Tank Tyler ran awful at the combine last year. He started as a rookie. For Kansas City. You know why? Split double teams, get to the quarterback, stuff the run. Those are the things. Why would I care what a nose tackle can run or jump? Right. But who cares?
Yeah. I tell you what, it's not a need for the Patriots, obviously, but not a pressing need at least. But there is a guy that I saw that had a lot of buzz after his combine with interviews, workouts, and everything. It was quarterback Kevin O'Connell from San Diego State. Some of the scouts there were comparing him because they couldn't find another quarterback in the league to compare him to. So they were saying, closest thing we can find size-wise, arm strength, ability is Vince Young. And they think he might even have better ability to read defenses than Young did at that point in his career. So he's a guy that you might
I know that they were putting up a lot of points late in the year. San Diego State. They were a young team.
O'Connell.
And like I said, it's not a pressing need, but you know, if the guy slips to like round 4, 5, or 6, and the Patriots think, you know, for future needs, yeah, that might be something to think about.
Mike's losers. His first loser is Cedric Ellis. He looked like a tub of goo and seemed uninterested in being there. Does not look like he could play in the 3-4.
Here's the thing.
What, Cedric Ellis?
Yeah.
Everybody says he's perfect for the 3-4 because he could play end or nose. It'll be a good nose.
Now, I watched a Senior Bowl where they almost had to take him off the field because he was so unblockable. It was like a practice where you have to tell the guy to stop going so hard because nobody could. Now, this is against some of the best young offensive linemen to come out, and he was blowing through them.
It's a top 10 pick, right?
Yeah.
Are you talking 15? About Ellis or Dorsey?
He said Cedric Ellis.
Because I think Dorsey's a faller because of the medical
injury.
Issue.
Yes.
He was at the hospital. He actually talked to the media a day late because he was at the hospital forever with this stress fracture issue and what they did. And it sounds like they might have actually also done damage by having him play through it and, like, shooting him up.
And as Paul knows, they would have been undefeated if it weren't for that injury to Glenn Dorsey, said on CBS about 8 million times last year.
They couldn't get through a quarter of play without mentioning the fact that Dorsey missed a few games.
Maybe Mike Gerken wants to write in and defend his Cedric Eller perfect loser selection. To Aqib Talib.
Yeah.
He was a
I'd put him one.
Yeah. Tall and fast, but faller, absolutely no horrible doubt. In drills. He has the worst footwork I've ever seen.
He also wasn't as tall as he was supposed to be either.
Really?
Yeah, he was like two inches. He was supposed to be like 6'2", and he was barely over 6, right?
Wow. And finally, his final loser is Brandon Flowers. I'm not sure why Mayock is so high on this guy. He is shorter than expected and really slow for a small corner.
I didn't like him in playing college football. I usually like those Virginia Tech corners. They're physical and they're usually busting the up, but I love them usually. And I didn't like him at all when he was at Virginia Tech.
And Mayock, does Mayock have him as his
number
top
one
corner? That's funny because Draft Scout, which I go to a lot, has him like 7'6". So that's your there's a huge cornerback.
The corner is
huge.
There's a big
diversity
difference
of
in ranking,
which tells me I'm not taking one in the top 10.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, unless you get the right one.
No,
because I'm sold that there's an all-pro in the group.
I think Tom might be right.
Told you who it was.
He's been the consistent one.
Yeah, but if I can get him in the second round, I'll take him in the second round.
Yeah, but I don't think the Patriots could. See, that's like, say for instance, if the Patriots love that guy, he would be a hard guy for them to get because you're not going to take him at 7. Then you would have to trade down far enough to get him and all that kind of stuff. He would be a tough one for them to get.
What I'm talking about by saying I wouldn't take him in the top 10, I think that there's a chance that you could get more cornerbacks that are going to be solid players than any other position in this draft. I don't know. I'm not saying it's not a deep position, but I'm saying you part of the process is trying to weigh where you think guys are going to fall, too. And if you think that no one's going to have this guy on the radar, you don't just take him because you think you're great. I mean, you take a guy that you know that you can stop, and then you can work. I mean, you know, 7 might be impossible to get someone else like Tom just explained, but that's part of the thing. You don't just take him because you think he's good. I mean, you have to be other guys that you think are good,
too. Jeff Lagerman theory. You don't take Jeff Lagerman at 10 when everyone else had him as a third-round draft pick.
Jeff Bryant was that. Remember the Seattle Seahawks defensive lineman, Jeff Bryant?
Oh, yeah.
They got a Clemson way back in the 80s. Everybody was like, "What are you? This is like 2 rounds too early." He was like a first-round pick.
Jeff
and he ended up being a good player, too, but it's just a lot earlier than you needed to take him.
TGNNJ has a receiver question. He says, "How about my boy Jabbar? Does he make it back on the team for next year? He knows the offense. He wants to stay. Works hard. Keeps his mouth shut. Seems to accept his role as a third or fourth option. You get the impression Belichick likes him. I assume he wouldn't be expensive. And when and how can the Patriots unload Chad Jackson?"
Unload him for what?
Well, I mean, you'll be able to unload him at the end of training camp when you cut him.
I was going to say, I think you could release him at any time you want. I mean, third year in at this point.
Certainly wouldn't be, though.
Was it five?
Sort of like Oscar Lua. Now I'm down to one receiver.
Is it five?
Welker's going to be tired in camp.
Five-year deal that he signed? Second-round pick has to be 5 years, right?
Sure.
Well, it can't be more than that. So.
All right.
I think he comes back, but the only variable there is if some other team looks at this offense from last year and says, you know, there's a great guy.
They make him number two.
Maybe overpay him a little bit.
What about Gaffney?
I think Gaffney will come back.
I do, too.
I like
you know why I want Jackson here? Because he is the epitome of what we talk about with the 40-yard dash.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That guy hasn't shown me a bit of speed on the field. Yet when he was on the track, he ran that 4-2 whatever and blew everyone away. And I mean, even as a kick returner, you can tell those guys that, like Hobbs, I don't know what Hobbs runs in the 40, but that guy's fast. When he hits a crease, he is gone.
You're right.
And Jackson hasn't shown me anything like that.
Hobbs is a great on-field speed guy with the ball in his hands especially. He does not look a step slow at all, and I don't know what his time was coming out, but as a kick returner, he looks markedly faster than Chad Jackson, who ran the best time of his combine, right?
I think it's those white shoes.
I don't know who was the best of the company. He was up there. He was I thought it was a 4.31.
4.31.
Which is ridiculously fast.
This year he would have been slow.
Well, yeah, and this year he wouldn't have broken like the top 25 or something. You know, despite the fact that the highest of all time, there was like 3.42s and there was two this year. And ridiculous. They made it up. Can you guys tell me that Lucas Fields was with a K?
What's that?
I've seen it. But
pretty sure I just saw it go by a Lucas Field graphic, and it was with a C.
I've seen it.
I'm going to blame this one on Eric then, because I got that from him.
I've seen it spelled both ways. I've seen Luke Oil, L-U-K Oil. I've seen Lucas Oil, L-U-C-A-S Oil. I've seen Lucas Oil, L-U-K-A-S Oil. I don't know what the hell it is
now. The Fields with a C.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's with a C. Another thing you screwed up on the web.
Tough week.
All right. Let's see. TG also says, Tom, in SPFW, you mentioned you like where the Patriots are right now with the running back position. And no, I haven't forgotten about Sammy Morris. I think losing him to injury last year was a big negative for the team, and I'm excited to see him return. Nevertheless, what do you think about Turner from San Diego? Not worth it? Too much money? Why bother? And if so, where do you think he'll end up?
Yes.
No way is he coming here. I mean, no
and he's not
way.
Worth it.
Yeah.
Well, if they didn't have Sammy Morris, would you bring him?
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know, because he wants big money. He wants starter money.
He wants starter money.
Yeah, no. I think a guy like that would be perfect for them is Justin Forsett from Cal. He's a smaller guy, but he's very strong. He can do the things Kevin Falk does, but I think with Forsett, he could even be a backup for one or two games. I mean, I don't think he'll be a starter for an entire season, but I think he's got enough strength in his body and his legs especially to be a starter for a couple of games. Someone like that in like round four, I think would be a good pickup if you want to go that way for running back, but I don't think you need a Turner or a McFadden. I just don't think you need it if you're the Patriots.
Especially this draft. You can get a good running back in the middle of the draft.
Of the three backs you did mention, Owen Schmidt, Jacob Hester, and Justin Forsett, I would assume Schmidt makes the most sense with the idea that Belichick could use him on special teams as well.
Well, you would have to draft him higher than Forsett, because Schmidt's, what's he, Andy, probably second, third round guy?
Yep.
Forsett's probably a second day guy. So if you want Schmidt, you'd have to draft him earlier, then kind of figure where does he fit in here. You'd have to use more blocking back, right?
Oh,
they don't use much of that at all, if at all.
Or in the role of as the motion guy blocking, you know, he could line up sort of as a tight end H-back type, do some blocking.
See, Schmidt's a hard guy for me to judge, because he played in that system at West Virginia where he got a lot of those quick handoffs up the middle that you don't see in the NFL. I mean, I know he's a good blocker, but as far as a runner, I'm not really sure because basically when he gets the ball and breaks free, it's when everyone's going with White and Slayton. And
he's
going
to make his money blocking, playing special teams,
if that's the case, then I don't think he's worth a second or third round pick, because everyone's going away from that kind of player.
Well, I was shaking
gonna
my head.
He's going to go higher than he should, probably.
I was shaking my head when you started talking. I just can't imagine that it costs that much to get a player that is seemingly working his way out of the NFL right now.
Right. Does it make sense?
I mean, I'm not saying there's not value, and I'm not saying the guy doesn't have any ability, doesn't have any athleticism, but I just see that role. Fewer and fewer teams are accentuating that role.
That's not what John Hanna says, going back that way. Those powers.
Talking about 40 times at the combine, Steven says, didn't they resurface Indy Stadium with field turf? Is that enough to take the slow track to a faster track?
No, it should make it slower it went from old AstroTurf to a slower, softer, more grass-like surface.
And they also did that about 4 years ago.
Right.
I saw something on the NFL Network the other day.
36 yards.
Which might have a little credence
like
to this
the
argument.
Rim that Chris touched at 8.4.
Eric, that's where you need to grow nuts and say, would you guys shut up so I can tell my story?
I was just sneaking it in, Eric.
Fine. No problem. The guy who runs the coach who's on the field for those 40-yard times was explaining to the players the way they're going to start the clock for these guys, and he was saying, you know, you got to make sure you get down in the right position, and then if you're whichever hand you use that goes back, make sure that's not moving at all. Make sure you're not like doing what they call a jack start, which is like you bend down a little bit and then start, because in the past he was saying they were going to start that clock as soon as they saw any movement from your body. So maybe that's a little bit of an explanation for last year, the times being a little slow. So this year they're saying, tell the guys, make sure you don't move a muscle for 3 seconds, and then you got to take off.
36 yards.
That's kind of that was a, they went like in great detail for about 5 minutes explaining and showing them what they had to do before they ran. So maybe that's why.
You know what I like about this? This is going to be one of those things that, you know, like 2 years from now, Andy's going to be like, hey, it's like the year at the combine when they ran the 40 on the 36-yard track. Like, it's just going to become like,
fact. The other thing, too, though, and, you know, I know Pete, you don't really like to say this, but what I said about the training more, they all might be on steroids, too.
Right.
You know, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. A lot of those guys are probably on performance-enhancing drugs, and we've been saying this for a long time, Andy, that it's starting earlier and earlier and earlier.
Yeah.
Maybe now we're seeing that 10, 15-year evaluation coming, and guys are going
to
start running 4.18 40s.
Two things there. First of all, there's also a chance that in 2 years after I've seen Chris Johnson in person and Darren McFadden in person, I'm going to go, maybe they did run 4.2s. Those guys are freaking fast. And then the other issue
is they are, but
no, I know, but I might see him because I have in my mind, you know, like Bethel Johnson, how fast he is. He was a 4.3 type guy. If I see Chris Johnson and I go, wow, he's way faster than Bethel Johnson. Maybe he was a 4.24.
Sure.
I mean, there's guys you see and you go, that guy's ridiculously fast.
Because we know it's not just because of the addition of
steroids.
You know, these guys specifically training for the combine, because that's not really
a new
phenomenon. Yeah,
that's been around for a while. You know, you're talking, what, almost two decades now.
Yeah, and at this point, it's not the exception. You know, guys like Mike Mamula way back when, he was one of the first kind of guys, you know, mainstream guys that really did that. But that was a long time ago.
Right.
We're talking like 15 years ago now.
Everybody, actually, McKelvin was one of the unique guys, and they said, where have you been training for this? And he said, at Troy, I'm taking classes. So I just, he's still training at his
own. Cross him off the Patriots list.
Everybody else is that, you know, performance sports Inc. And Tom Shaw has really blown up.
Football's,
I would say,
obviously not important.
One out of every three is Tom Shaw. And I don't, Fred, you might know, does he still have a relationship with the Patriots?
I don't know. Not directly, I don't think.
Because he used to be their speed coach.
I mean, he's a local guy, but.
No, it's
well, that's what I meant, Andy. More people are doing stuff like that. I don't mean training.
Right.
I mean going to the special clinics.
But even that,
but
like Jake,
I think you're a good 10 years into that.
I think it's fake. And the other issue I want to bring up is, I'm sick of the stupid question is, the guy played high school football or he started in eighth grade. Well, why'd it take so long for you to catch on? I mean, a lot of people don't play Pop Warner football.
No.
There's a lot of people.
I bet you, especially.
It's not late.
Especially guys in the NFL, because a lot of those guys were too big to play Pop Warner football.
So,
it's not like
it's
hockey
stupid.
Where you're skating when you're four.
Right.
Yeah.
Football starts
generally
in high school.
Right.
When you're a freshman in high school, you go out for the freshman team.
That's why I laugh at all those Pop Warner fathers that they're so worried about their kid getting a head start in the game.
Yeah. That's
football is
terrible.
So dependent on your body type.
Yeah.
And it's going to change.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, a lot of parents are afraid to put their kids in Pop Warner because they're afraid they're going to break bones.
That's
or
the
something
other thing.
Like
and
that,
I actually remember, I want to say it was
some
Reggie
big kids
White.
Can't play Pop Warner.
Well,
Reggie
that's,
White
that's
said
the biggest thing.
He would never let his kids play Pop Warner football.
I would bet anything that Bill Belichick would say the same thing.
First of all, it actually sometimes scares kids off from the game. It's too much work, too early. They're not really ready to commit to a sport like that.
Right.
And also, you change so much. He thinks they should just go out and play flag football if they're interested in the game.
I agree.
See, I you know, look, you're not going
to
find a bigger
fell asleep
proponent
one night,
of
didn't wake
Pop
up, right?
Warner football. Obviously, it
would be like me.
But I think that there's
those
a
are
bad,
your glory days, right?
But I think you know my father's involvement.
And yes,
but you know, I think that whole trend of earlier and earlier, younger and younger for all sports.
It's an arms race.
I think is completely backwards thinking, and I think Reggie White has it exactly right. Well, had it exactly right. You know, may he rest in peace. But
he can. He's got sleep apnea.
When you're 5 years old, you cannot play. You do not have an attention span that allows you to play an organized sport. You're supposed to be running around and having fun when you're five. You're not supposed to be playing organized soccer or organized t-ball. Baseball. That's why people – I think the biggest reason why baseball is dying for kids, and especially city kids and whatnot, you can't have them go out when they're 6 years old and tell them, no, you have to stand out in right field and do this.
Right.
I don't want to do that. I want to go run around and have fun.
Right.
You know, soccer, that's to me the reason why soccer is popular among more kids.
Because all they do is run around.
Because that's all you do is run around with no structure.
Right. And then they realize they want to play a game that takes skill and talent, and they go to a different sport.
Right. Now, that'll really get the emails coming.
Well, it's the truth. For years, I've been – 15 years, soccer is the most popular sport among youths in America. still hasn't changed. All those kids that were 5 are now 20, and they don't give a rat's ass anymore.
Then they realized when they were, 11, oh, you mean I can actually touch the ball?
Right.
And I can throw it?
I can play football and basketball.
Who was the guy who said Cedric Ellis had a bad workout?
I think he meant Dorsey.
Because this guy's flying all around. I mean, he looks like a running back.
Yeah, I think he meant Dorsey.
You know what I mean. I'm just saying he has very quick feet around.
We're watching combine highlights.
That takes
on NFL
you
Network
seriously.
For those of you
now
who
he
can't
doesn't
see.
Really look like Darren McFadden.
Did you just see that play though that you showed? He was lined up right over the center, which is where you would be for a nose tackle, and he just
right
completely knocked the center down.
And the next one, you're right, Fred. The guy was going to try to cut his inside leg, and he instinctively leaped and hurdled like a hurdler, and didn't even make contact.
That's a great play.
He's a pretty good player.
Talk about Oklahoma players. Strippers has your answer. Linebackers. Teddy Lehman was a stud as a rookie, got hurt. Rocky Kalmus was a starter, got hurt. Rufus Alexander got hurt. Torrence Marshall, upstairs issues. Lance Mitchell, never same guy after blowing out an ACL at OU.
Thanks, Fred. First of all, Rocky Kalmus
we
sucks.
Found the Fred Kirsch of Oklahoma football.
Once you got
Teddy Lehman
but
is
once,
not a stud in the NFL.
And once
either.
You got past telling me Rocky Kalmus was good and then got hurt, I stopped listening to you.
Clint Ingram, good player. Brandon Moore as well. DBs, Brodney Poole, really good NFL player.
No, he's not.
No, he's not.
Andre Wilfork, bust. Injuries also. Dante Nicholson, not athletic enough. Antonio Perkins couldn't cut it. Derek Strait was a bust. Not sure why.
I can't believe he called Strait a bust.
Finally, defensive line, Tommy Harris was a stud. Kelly Gregg was
a
stud.
I'll give you Tommy Harris.
Yeah. Dusty Dvorak, a starter, got hurt. Dan Cody,
isn't
injuries,
he working marketing?
Who knows. And Jimmy Wilkerson, great career for a six-rounder. So
Dan Cody is a bust.
Strippers,
he was phenomenal
Strippers
in college.
Conclusion is that it was bad luck in most cases
and injuries.
Right.
Yeah,
I really respect Strippers' opinion.
I lost some respect
on his
for
stuff,
him,
but I did. I mean, Tommy Harris is the only one out of all of those guys that would have lived up to what he was supposed to be.
I mean, Dan Cody, talk about a guy I loved coming out of college. Now we're just saying he disappeared off the face of the earth, and it was just
circumstances.
I mean Oklahoma, this is not like, some fringe, major program. That's obviously a long list of players, just defensive players, by the way, that have come out of the school. All schools, everybody has injuries. Everybody, gets derailed. But that was a list of about 20 guys of which, in my opinion, there's one.
Yeah,
really
Brodney
quality
Poole's
player.
A good player.
Yeah,
these
guys
not
that
a,
have stuck around
a,
the NFL.
He's not a great player.
A lot of those guys are household names, but that doesn't mean that they lived up to what they were supposed to be. I mean, those Oklahoma defenses.
Yeah, I would
say great.
Harris and Greg is or Greg or whatever, however Bill pronounces it is a good player. Plus, he was a lower round draft pick.
Yeah, maybe he's mocking Kelly Greg when he says it like that. Maybe he's making fun of him. You ever think of that?
Maybe
Paulian.
Only Fred's allowed to do that one. But
strippers,
I like that, too. I think that's funny.
You too, but
strippers
he just
must have a reply in by now.
Oh, yeah.
No,
actually, he just clicked off, and we lost one of our best listeners
of all
time.
Tommy Harris is a stud. I mean, that's
Strippers he's, also he's says, play. Sure, you see guys run a 4.24 or 4.3 at Indy. AD ran 4.4 last year, but in pads, he's faster than those 4.3 guys.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's pads. I don't care what anybody runs. No one's faster than Daryl Green.
When did he run a 4.4 in pads?
No, he's saying in pads.
In
he's
pads,
faster.
He runs a 4.4.
Who? But how do you know that?
No, I think you're he's saying he ran a 4.4, but in pads he's faster than the guys who ran a 4.3. See what I'm
saying?
What he
ran
saying. A
4.4
last
year. He's saying when
he's
in uniform, he runs faster than those guys do.
See what I'm saying?
He ran a 4.4, but
at the
pads,
combine, but
in pads he's a
faster
player.
So we're saying like
Adalys Thomas ran a 4.4 at the combine.
See, that's why I know. I understand the terminology. I'm out in the 4.4.
Adrian Peterson.
I thought you said AD.
That's what he wrote.
They call him AD. People call
Adrian
him AD.
Peterson.
Yeah, because I got
AD?
Confused at the combine.
Oh, I thought we were
a couple people said AD, and I was like,
all day.
Thanks, Mini Gary.
You need a haircut because that hair is not mini.
Such an idiot.
You got birds living in that thing. Jesus Christ.
It is kind of puffed out.
I should let me borrow some.
Yeah, I was going
to. Yeah, give some to Paul. Thing. Holy Moses.
I'm harvesting it for him.
He looks like Danny Terrio from Dance Media.
He does.
He does. That's a great call.
He has no idea. Yeah, way before your time, little man.
Yeah, even though he's like 4 years younger than
he does look like Danny Terrio.
He really does.
Red in hair.
He doesn't like it when we talk about him.
Google Danny Terrio, Mini Gary.
So you can see who he looks. Danny Terrio.
Right now he's thinking to himself.
I thought it was Danny.
I think it's
Danny.
I thought it was Denny too.
Oh, Denny?
But you might be right.
I don't have a clue.
Just look up Dance Fever.
Yeah, Dance Fever and Terrio. T E R I O. Right.
Your favorite movie?
Terrio. Yeah.
Favorite movie.
He taught John Travolta.
Dance Fever was not a movie.
It was a TV show.
It was a TV show.
It was one of those dance shows.
It was a Saturday Night TV.
It was a Saturday Night TV show. It was a dance comedy.
You got some fever.
Let's see.
He taught John Travolta how to dance for Saturday Night Fever.
Yeah.
Jeff Moore writes, and I know we're wondering who will be added at linebacking and cornerback positions, but is it possible that Capers will bring some of his 3-4 philosophy to the team and allow us to draft or use players with a slightly different skill set than we are used to?
Maybe.
Maybe. I mean, he's a more aggressive 3-4 guy, clearly. He loves these tweener athletes, clearly. We've talked about Bill maybe going towards a little bit of a smaller, faster inside linebacker.
Those Gerard Mayo types.
So maybe you could be, you know, a little bit of a change in philosophy here after the Bruschi and Seau and Johnson era goes out the window. Maybe there will be a more speed-based attacking 3-4. Mm-hmm. Because Rob Ryan, in those quotes, he said they do it basically differently than anybody. Anybody else, the Patriot, Bill Belichick's 3-4 defense is different than everybody's. So maybe there will be a little bit of a change here.
Well, I do think there's differences. We talked about this a lot off the air, too. But I think that a lot of the players that can play in 3-4s can play in 3-4s.
Right.
I think they're that kind of a player. I think it's basically how you're employed in that system. You know, you don't think that Sean Merriman could play for the Patriots?
I think the inside guys are the different guys. We're getting too complicated.
That's my point.
If he can play football, he can play. Yeah.
I mean, there might be guys that are stupid.
I think that's
the example
play
here.
See, now I think I would have wholeheartedly said no way. I want any part of that guy. I don't think he could play in New England. I'm wrong. I mean, the guy's a football player. Bill would be able to use him here. There's no doubt in my mind.
He'd make him a strong safety.
Well, that's a different argument now.
I think he'd be an inside linebacker.
We just turned into Ben Watson as the team's wide receiver. I mean,
we're
just flip-flopping positions everywhere.
I think he would play inside linebacker.
I have to be honest. If he can make Teddy Bruschi into a player, he can do it with Lofa Tutupu. That's my opinion.
Bill Parcells did it. Believe me, I was as wrong about...
He did.
I was as wrong about Lofa Tutupu as anybody. I thought in that draft class, he was just too small. There was no way he was going to be able to do it. No way. And you know, the guy's...
Thank God I wasn't here back then.
What?
Tutupu. It seemed like every play that ever happened at USC, he either intercepted. He was the Bruschi of college football. He intercepted a pass.
You like him a lot?
Oh, I loved him, but I didn't see that.
We
saw film.
No, I didn't think he was a bad player. I didn't think he fit the system.
Oh.
He still doesn't, Paul. Stick with your guns.
No, I just think he's too good. He's too good. I think Bill would
agree with Paul and Fred. I think if you can play football and you're a good player, Bill will find a way to do something
about him.
You were right. Stick with it.
Lawrence in Ireland wants to apologize for the drunken rant he went on last week.
We expect it. When Fred reads Lawrence from Ireland,
more drunken rants.
We expect drunken rants
to
follow those words.
Drunken rants.
He says, I got a little carried away, nearly got arrested for drunk driving that night.
Let's put the brakes on that one then, all right?
Are you on the left side of the road or right side of the road?
Anyway, my internet's been acting up, so I can't get the full lowdown on what's the story with Randy. I heard rumors about Moss going to Jerry's Jokes, I mean the Dallas Cowboys. What a story that would be. Moss plus T.O. equals epic failure.
Equals entertaining.
Get your popcorn ready.
He's not going anywhere.
No,
yeah, he's not. He's not going anywhere.
Lawrence, the rumors, according to Adam Schefter anyway, are that he's going to re-sign with the Patriots.
According to all of the free world except for John Zarnecki, who I used to give a lot of credit to because I was told he was tied in to Jimmy Johnson.
Maybe he'll
Belichick
be the Roger Clemens. Maybe he's the one telling the truth.
Maybe. Yeah, but that's a bad example because I don't think Roger Clemens is the one telling the
truth. But it would be funny.
It would be very funny. Believe me, that's a great story. I know Patriots fans will be in tears, but... Randy Moss and T.O. and Jerry Jones and Dallas, that's great.
The only way that Moss does not remain a Patriot is if he somehow, and I forget the guy, Mike Reese gave an example of a guy, a former Giant, I think it was Kendrick Clancy, maybe. They thought they had a deal in place. It was a similar kind of situation. They thought they had the parameters of a deal, and then all of a sudden free agency came and he signed somewhere else.
Like the guy from the Cavs who went to the Jazz.
Carlos Boozer.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. They thought they had it. Everybody assumed it was a done deal, and then he signed with the Jazz.
Yeah. That's the only way I could think is that right now the Patriots think they have the perimeters of a deal, and all of a sudden on Monday morning he wakes up and
That's why he should have the words franchise tag next to it.
I think
Moss wants to stay here. That's the main thing.
I think unless that deal is already signed.
But what if Jerry Jones?
He should have the franchise tag on him.
Prints money with Moss's face on. I mean.
Nelson is from Keene, New Hampshire. He says, what's up, guys? And Eric, you guys did a great job of keeping us informed during the combine. Kudos to Tom, Eric, and Andy. And Andy, I know a lot of the draft experts are telling us what player will go in which round, but couldn't a lot of that change after free agency starts on Friday? Yes, it could.
Sure.
Would you say most teams start filling holes in their roster during this time, then add during the draft?
Yes, because yes. Free agency comes first.
I don't know how much that affects a player's draft round. It would affect where you think that guy might go.
Well,
but if a
what
guy's,
team?
If a guy's slated to be a fourth rounder, he's probably going to end up somewhere in that area. You know.
Good job on the blog as well, although I was disappointed with the ending of the Eric's Brooks story. When I first read it, I thought she was going to give you guys directions to the nearest Rhymes with Hay bar. Sorry, Andy.
I wasn't going to no gay bar.
By the way, I'm going to be helping a buddy of mine deliver some books to Gillette next Thursday and would like to bring lunch for you guys.
Jackpot.
Where can I order from so I could possibly sit in on your show for a bit? I would like to see the carnage unfold before my eyes just once. If I could only get the Fred Kraft tour, that would be cool.
Who's this?
Nelson?
Nelson from Keene, New Hampshire.
I don't know him.
So.
I don't care if I know him or not, as long as he brings lunch.
We'll have to have Gary work that out. We'll see.
Gary, we'll get back to you.
Not sure about the tour. I'm
the human
busy.
Hair in there.
But he says, P.S., I still can't believe you guys didn't strap down Paul to a chair yet and shave his head. If he's not willing to man up and shave those last five hairs of his head, may I suggest that you all get the loyal listeners to suggest other dares and then have us vote on what you guys, minus Paul, pick as the top five.
Okay, I'll do that. Sure. I didn't really get it, but I'll do it.
That means they pick some dares that I have to do. You guys pick the one that you want me to do.
I like it. Send in the ideas. We'll take the top five. Wow. We'll give you one block. We'll be like the NFL
picking primetime
games.
You're really not very smart.
Why?
How could you not figure out what he was talking about?
I wasn't really listening. I'm watching DRC on TV.
Let's see.
Nah, I don't want him. Not on that 3-second clip. He didn't look like the best player on the field.
Greg Piccarello.
Oh, he gets cheap Teddy Bruschi picks?
Writes in. He says, I just had a few questions about the Patriots and their upcoming draft. First, there's a rumor on DraftDaddy.com that the Patriots really like Chevis Jackson out of LSU and will be flying him in for a visit. I heard he had a solid workout at the combine, except for a pretty mediocre 40 time of 4.58. Do you think he would be a good fit with the team, or would that lack of long speed be a problem?
Well, he was the guy listed as a sleeper when I did the sleepers for each position. He's someone I like because, again, instincts. When you watch LSU play, he shows great instincts. He jumps the ball. I heard he wasn't going to run a great 40 time, so I figured that would push him down into like the third, fourth, fifth round area. But see,
he's a senior, right?
Yeah, I think when you get to that point, like if he's going to be a fourth round pick and you have a corner that you like who played at LSU, who was very productive at LSU, those are the guys I like to draft. I just don't think a 4.58, if you can play football, I don't think that's the type of speed that's going to prevent you from having a solid NFL career. That's just my opinion on it, but I like him.
Second, with Kaysen running a 4.49, where would he be a good spot to pick in the draft? I think he's a first rounder, but if you trade down to pick 14 or 15, is that too high to take a player like Kaysen when other corners like Jenkins or Tlaib might be available?
Well, Tlaib will be going in round two, so I don't think you have to worry about him.
And this is what we just talked about. It's not too high if you think he's an all-pro, but if you can get him at 35, then yeah, it's too high because it's sort of like what the Bills did when they took Whitner. Whitner's a good player,
right. Yeah.
But if you can get an extra two by moving down and get Whitner and a
right.
two.
That's what I was talking about earlier.
You got to play the game as it's played. Do business as business is being done.
I think you're going to see Kaysen go between picks 20 to 40.
I say we shave his head in there.
I think his pro day will
just
decide
glue it to the back of my head.
Where he goes.
Just slap it right on top like some of those idiots that wear toupees do and they think no one notices.
Look, you can swim with it. There it is.
And then he goes on to make fun of Eric.
Okay, read it.
Go ahead,
read
Brad.
It
doesn't matter.
I took a look at your website, and I just wanted to say don't quit your day job. Then I realized that you suck at that, too, so I don't know what to say. A couple grand seems pretty expensive for a crayon portrait, and for that price I would expect a happy ending or at least a reach around.
He'll give you a happy ending. He loves giving.
I assume you are well-versed in these skills, and if not, then you are a walking case of blatant false advertising. Just kidding, Eric, but making fun of you is a lot more fun than not making fun of you.
That's fine.
Keep picking fights with teenagers.
No problem.
By the way, I made it a week without making an Eric Gage.
I was going to say, you've been back on that horse today.
I don't think you made it a week either.
By the way, we were talking about what you wear in the gym, and strippers backs Andy. He says,
"Thank you.
You cover up that body with a long sleeve sweatshirt and running pants or sweats."
I agree.
Oh, he's an idiot.
Yeah, well,
then
he's probably a stupid meathead.
Right.
I sweat like hell at the gym, and I'm sorry, but I don't want a heavy sweatshirt all sweaty.
I love it.
Does that make any sense?
No.
You're there to sweat.
Right, but I'm sweating enough in a t-shirt and shorts.
Right. I like to sweat.
It's not like it's wick-away clothing. You're wearing like.
How do you know I don't wear
wick-away
clothing? How do you know I don't wear wick-away clothing?
Because I know you.
Listen,
don't.
We
I
all
don't.
Know.
I got one of those Nike Dry Fit shirts,
like Under Armour.
We all know with the meathead garb at the gym is Fred. We
yeah.
all know what it is.
Cut off t-shirts like Tom
no,
wears.
No, it's a sweatshirt. It's wrestling shoes. It's those Zubaz pants. That's the meathead garb.
And I have
and
New Balance running
wraps,
shoes.
The wraps
well,
around
those
your wrist.
I got bad wrists.
Andy's got it all.
How long have you hid that from me?
And
I've worn those for. I don't hide it. If you ever went to a gym, you fat bastard, you'd see it.
And a big part of this, Paul. A big part
really
of this.
Are a meathead.
A big part of this. The upper echelon meatheads.
You're shocked by this?
You have to cut the neck off.
Well, I don't do that.
Oh, don't tell me you. Don't tell me you wear all that other stuff and you don't cut the.
I've never cut a sweatshirt in my life.
Yeah, Andy has to cut the.
That company that with the barbell that everyone wears.
Oh, Bum?
Bum.
Yeah. Those are the shirts that they cut the neck off.
I'm not sure that's a company anymore or has been for 18 years.
They wear the Zubas with the wrestling shirt.
The only way Andy can get the sweatshirt over his head is if he cuts the thing.
That's true. That's true.
That's a good point.
Yeah. I just think if you go to the gym, the normal guy's working out, you see him
Andy's
wearing
the only guy that I know. He has to step into a sweater because he can't get it over his head.
Now, that was funny.
Strippers is just mad at me because I said his evaluation of Oklahoma players stinks.
Right. No, he just knows what to wear when you work out.
If you go to the gym.
You're there to sweat.
And you see a bunch of normal people working out, they're wearing a t-shirt and they're wearing shorts,
right.
like me.
Right.
And by the way, strippers, how come you haven't bought that Sooners license plate from the guy in New Hampshire who has it already?
Yeah. There was a trend, though, like the construction guys would come in after work.
With boots?
And they wear their boots or their work shoes. And I thought that was.
Saw that trend.
You can't take 5 minutes to change
that
into a pair
of sneakers. A couple people still do it. You'll still see it now and then, but it's not as big as it used to be.
We get it. You work construction, all right? Oh, my God.
There's also people that come in like flip-flops. And
I love how
put some sneakers on.
I love how mad Fred gets. Okay, we get it. You work construction.
Put on a pair of sneakers.
Right. And I love how Fred knows all this from like four trips in the last 10 years to
Fred,
a gym.
Fred used to go to the gym a lot back in
school. He squats with the big boob blonde who he gives her the reach around while spotting her.
You think these guns are natural? I have to work at these.
Her guns weren't natural either.
Bass Pro.
Yeah. Gonna
what,
Bass
what about Bass Pro?
Pro?
Who asked you?
Easy, Junior.
They probably have one somewhere.
Do they give haircuts at Bass Pro because he needs one?
I don't know.
They must have sheep shears.
Yeah. They got those sausage makers. We could just put his head.
Well, that's what Eric's interested in.
Why do you do this to me, Fred?
I didn't do it.
Why do you
do
it? You do it. You set me up with this. You know he's going to say that. You know it.
Let's see. Arthur says, "Hey guys, and you too, Erica." Oh, that's see.
That's
I love
fine,
the
Fred.
Show.
Don't worry about I like it.
It.
Goes,
it's fine.
See,
I love the show and I listen all the time. I don't normally write in because, unlike most of your listeners, I'm employed and I can't normally listen live. I travel a lot and listen to you guys in various countries around the world. It brings some familiarity so far from home. Keep up the good work. Anyway, what do you think is the smartest and most likely way the Pats will draft? One, stay and draft at number 7. If so, who do you see them taking? Two, trading out of the number 7 for a later first and an extra first next year. Or three, trading out of number 7 and getting a later first and extra second and third or fourth rounders this year. As all of you say,
it's too much for Andy to comprehend.
This draft isn't deep with great players, but is very deep with good players. It could make sense for them to get some extra picks to build depth in the linebacker and secondary core. And by the way, I hope the Pats draft Schmitz so we can see Casale bench and block against him.
To trade, you need to have. If it makes sense for the Patriots to get more picks, it also makes sense for the other team to keep their picks. Right?
Well, no.
Unless they find a guy that they
absolutely
love.
Unless it's a guy that you love.
But
I think
in a draft where everybody's talking about the lack of star power, I think it's going to be hard to find a trading partner that's going to be willing to give you extra picks.
Right. Unless you want to
take
Jerry
Jones.
There's only one guy who's looking to trade up.
Right. And so you can one has already claimed him as their partner. So with one looking to trade, six looking to trade, seven looking to trade, I mean, there might be two more in there. I don't know.
If you're at 7 and Golson's on the board, I say draft him because you need a crazy animal who can run all over the place. As a rookie, you say, there's the passer. Go get him. And then when Vrabel and those guys start going, teach him how to drop back and whatever the other crap they do with their linebackers. But that's what they need. They need a guy like that who's fast. Now, if he can't play, it's a bust.
Right, you wasted money, but you tried.
You gave it a shot.
You think there's a chance that they might make a trade just for the sake of trading and realizing they're probably not going to get the full value for the seventh pick, but they don't want to take the seventh pick, so they're just going to get out of that?
Oh, yeah, we should bring that up. So. I did the research on Stripper's Boy. $17 million guaranteed on a five-year, $40 million contract was the seventh pick last year. So this year, add 10% to it. So $18 million and $44 million total package that you're handing Vernon Golston. Good work if you can get it, by the
Strippers, way. Strippers defends himself. He says, those weren't my evaluations.
Asked you for your evaluations.
I wanted to know what you thought, Strippers.
You're my authority on Oklahoma.
He says they weren't his. Lawrence is mad because he doesn't get New England football news for a week, and all I hear is middle-aged men talking about sweaty T-shirts. Chris says...
Have a beer.
He sweats like a mother, so he wears T-shirts and shorts.
I love how the one guy complains, and then other people chime in. They wear it at the gym.
Eric, what do you wear? Leotard?
You know.
All right.
I'm the most in shape of anyone in this room,
by the way,
so you shouldn't be making comments.
Just because you're a skinny little pansy who can't put on weight doesn't mean you're in shape.
How do you want to judge
in shape? Yeah, exactly. What do you want to judge in shape by? Being able to pick the bar up?
Athletic ability, physical appearance. I can be anything like that, except for bench press.
Wait a minute. You think you're the best athlete in this room?
Hell yeah.
I say you don't rank in the top five.
Now I'm mad.
I say you don't rank in the top five.
I may be in the worst shape in this room, but I'll put my athletic ability up against anybody.
Me too.
Oh, please.
All right. What do we got here?
Hey, unlike you,
I think we should have
the Division I college sport that I played, I actually saw the field.
Skiing.
Not like you. I actually saw the field all 4 years. I was captain for two of them.
What are you beating us at, though?
I'm just saying overall athletic ability.
Okay, let's delve into your career.
Do you want to play tackle football? Because I'm willing to do that.
No, we can't play a team sport. Let's have a decathlon.
What did you play?
I'm now setting you guys down in order. After I get done with you, then he will not hit a fair ball.
What sports did you play in high school?
Let's football,
you
soccer.
So eliminate football. Soccer's not a sport. Okay. Did you play
basketball?
Did you play basketball?
Yes.
You started.
Football, soccer, and basketball.
You started. This is where the no comes in. Thanks for playing.
We'll see you next Tuesday.
All right. We'll see you next Tuesday.